This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Help shape the direction of this station so your vote on potential board members is important. Perhaps that envelope is sitting on a kitchen counter or table or in a basket with all your incoming mail. When you open it, it will contain, among other items, your ballot and return envelope. The deadline to get your ballot in is November 15th, and before you know it, that day will be upon us. So take a little time out of your busy schedule and vote. Voters are encouraged to research all information presented by candidates, to ask questions of candidates and staff, and to be informed, voters, in the interest of a better Pacifica Foundation. Check this station's website or pacificafoundation.org for our bylaws and to learn more about the issues of governance and station operations. Your vote counts in the Pacifica Foundation election.
This is KPFT Houston.
Contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is the hell date is it? 10th?
11th.
For a Saturday show, honey.
Okay, 10th.
10th. On November the 10th edition of After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. Listener sponsored, commercial free, all the other stuff you heard and loved before. What does it tell me how long I've been talking?
Well, how nice.
I'm gonna have to hide that.
Boy, no kidding. we have a new control thing panel here.
Yes.
So. We're playing around with it.
It's all lit up like Christmas.
Yeah, there's a lot more lights. I like that.
Oh, good. Yeah.
No green. Oh, there's a little green.
Green up
okay.
there.
Anyway, who are you?
I don't know. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
Hello, and I am Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one. We have got a packed show tonight. We've got our After Hours quickie is... The Reese's folks are here. Falcon is here. We're going to talk about the World AIDS Day coming up. Theater Suburbia is here with a brand new Christmas show. And it's time for Leather Ties with Robert Tichy. And after that, after all of that, we've got the Bi-Neck group coming on.
Yeah, you know, it's bad we don't have sponsorship because we could really use a lube company for packing all these people in.
Tell me about it. And not only that, it's our third weekend of membership drive. So we have to remind you folks to give us a call at 713-526-5738 with your pledge of support for After Hours and KPFT.
Nice segue, a joke about reaming into reaming.
Yeah, see? There you go. So
Money.
Yeah, I know we do need that money, so please give us a call so we don't have to break in for the other segments and bitch about it.
Yeah, after 2 weeks, we've collected 1 week's worth.
Yeah, I know. We're not doing so hot, folks.
Which sucks in a bad way, so.
Yeah, it does suck in a bad way. Well, and you always thought that any sucking would be good. Not true. Not true. Anyway, we're going to go through a couple of things real quick and then get right to the Reese's folks. Right now, Sunday, November 11th, at Mary's Naturally from 10 a.m. till noon, ICOH will be doing breakfast hosted by Her Majesty Gemini Empress Rose Smith and the one and only Dennis Watson, otherwise known as Blanche DeBrie, who did a fabulous show this evening over at Tony's Corner Pocket for Assist Hers. And I am really appreciative of all the different folks from the community who turned out to support that and to be in that show. It was a wonderful show. So breakfast... come out for breakfast and that hair of the dog from Saturday night. Okay, and then next Friday, November the 16th, is a non-ICOH event. It's Giovanni Ray's birthday celebration show at the Crystal Bar. Showtime is at 10:30 p.m. 10:30! Can you believe that? Next Friday. So make plans now to carpool if you don't want to ride alone.
And then Sunday, November the 18th, Apollo Emperor Jeff Wallace and Gemini Empress Rose Smith will be investing their new line of Secession for Reign 6 at Cotillion 6, beginning at 4 p.m. with a light buffet and the investment of Reign 6 members at 5 p.m. And a reminder to ICOH members, remember, Cotillion is a state function. So this is high drag.
Pink cummerbund for the tux.
You got it. Yeah, and all the jewels I can find. Okay, so that takes care of ICOH.
They don't call you bedazzler for nothing.
Tell me. And the reason that it's being held at 4 p.m. is so everybody can rush right over to the BRB for the Cult 45's Fall Roundup. That's happening food at 7, show at 8 to 10 p.m., and they are going to be announcing the nominees for the 2007 Cult 45 Community Awards. So that's going to be a fun evening, and I would love for everybody to support that. Some of their shows have been sparsely attended as of late, and I don't understand it, because this is a great organization that does a lot of good for the community. And you've got a couple of things there, don't you?
The Houston Transgender Unity Committee has the Day of Remembrance set for November 17th, event honoring trans individuals killed due to prejudice. On Saturday, November 17th, members of the local transgender community, joined by their gay, lesbian, bisexual, and straight allies, will mark the Transgender Day of Remembrance at the Houston Holocaust Museum, 5401 Caroline, beginning at 6:30 p.m. City officials, including Denise Parker and Sue Lovell, are scheduled to participate. This is the third year that the Houston Transgender Unity Committee has presented the Transgender Day of Remembrance event at the Holocaust Museum, which is a program sponsor. Additional sponsors are Houston Area Community Services, Human Rights Campaign Houston, Gilead Sciences, and Genesis Coding Design Group. The Community Advisory Board involved in planning the local Day of Remembrance event this year. For more information, go to htuc.org. That's Houston Transgender Unity Committee. Or the website TGDOR, Transgender Day of Remembrance.org. Also, the Montrose Counseling Center. Community Promise is an HIV prevention program that collects stories from those who have made a positive change in their HIV risk behavior and distributes these stories within their community. The Montrose Counseling Center is seeking men who have sex with men and share their experiences and wisdom in an effort to encourage others who are at risk of HIV infection to protect themselves. If you're interested in joining the program, either as a role model or a peer advocate, call 713-529-0037 and ask for either Ryan, Justin, or Jamie. The Montrose Counseling Center can be found on the web at montrosecounselingcenter.org. I don't have your mics on yet. Push this button.
It's a good thing.
Go.
Oh,
there.
No, he's got them on.
Okay.
There we go.
This is weird for me. I've got it, you know.
We have a new control board.
I can't look at you and go, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, and move it here. It's to the side now.
It's over to the side, yes. Last week we had to, we were in the production room, which is about this size.
I broke that up.
So everybody had to be in there. It was a little tight. So,
oh, I thought I was going to say.
Ereses is here. The lady in red is sitting to my right.
Hi, how you doing, baby?
I'm just fine.
Fabulous.
Empress Cheyenne.
Oh, yes.
Yes. You've been busy tonight.
I have.
Yes.
And so have you.
Yeah, well.
All day.
Yes, as a matter of fact.
I think I saw you at 3. I saw you at 8. Now I'm looking at you at 1.
I know.
Oh, it's been a day.
That's too much. That's just
too
much.
Well, you know, that's what it is.
I know. But you're looking fabulous.
Well, thank you.
And your other half is looking... I can't
tired.
Take my eyes off of that watch.
It's a little
well,
bling.
You know, he's all about the bling.
And that is the blingiest watch I have ever seen in my life.
He wears it on the left side, I wear it on the right
that
side.
That sucker must glow in the dark, I'm telling you.
It gets a little attention.
Uh-huh. There's lots of bling on that. It's a big old thing. A big old diamond in the middle, too.
Are you still talking about the watch?
Yes. No. He is talking about the watch.
Oh, yes.
Thank
yes, the watch. Yes. Yes. Yes.
I'm blushing.
This is a family show, I heard.
Honey, it's the Addams Family. It's a family show.
Exactly. Family is all what your interpretation of.
Now, Chris is all red.
We got Robert Tichy in the lobby waiting to do a leather segment.
Did you say Robert or Rubber?
Robert.
Oh, Robert.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Robert Tichy. Doing a leather segment, so,
okay,
you know, that'll tell you
right.
How much of a family show this is.
Oh, let's go.
So, how's Arisa's doing?
Arisa's is fabulous.
You had candidate announcements.
Absolutely.
And the folks have been out in force. I've seen them at a couple of different occasions.
Well, they've been out, but technically not campaigning until next week.
Oh, okay.
We tried to save the community a little bit.
Well, they're out and they have their sashes
That's
on
correct.
And making themselves known.
There are four. Last time when we were here, we could not tell you, although we knew that there were going to be four.
And they are.
Candidate number one is Doug Weiss.
Mm-hmm.
Candidate number two is Aurora Breyer.
Mm-hmm.
Candidate number three will be Kimberly O'Neill.
Mm-hmm.
And candidate number four is...
Bob Skinner.
I was waiting for everybody to chime in. So it's been a long time.
It's going to be a race. It's going to be a real race this year.
It's been a long
time. Not that it hasn't been in the past, but it's always nice
to have. Very fun.
It's nice to have more than one.
Which just means that it's really up to the community because they have to come out and vote.
That's right.
We're one of the very few organizations in the Houston community that allow anybody with a valid driver's license that begins with a 7-7 to vote and choose these.
And they're voting for the leaders of your organization.
For one full year.
It's a big deal here. This is a big vote, folks.
So. Yes, and you know, we're at 69 days.
That's a special number for us.
They're already counting down.
I was told what it is.
Oh, I see.
But 69 is an appropriate number, don't you think?
I think it's my favorite.
I know.
We can only start counting.
So
at
I've 69. Been told.
Yes, you have been told. Yes, yes, that is my favorite. Yes. So, what events do you have coming up?
Well, we have. Since candidacy... Oh, actually, tomorrow night. I almost forgot.
Tomorrow
the big board show is tomorrow night at the BRB.
Mm-hmm.
It starts at 8 o'clock, and it is a true tent revival.
Oh, so. The tent revival. Yeah, I've got some... I've been talking about that. I've got a sheet on that over there.
Get a little gospel on.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure it will bring down the house. It always has, traditionally for us, and we're looking very forward to it. And it is the fourth show that the board of directors are required to do and host. So it should be a packed house.
The BRB will run out of white napkins because everybody.
I thought you were going to say alcohol. I was going to say don't think so. But
everybody will be waving them in the air.
Yes,
yes.
It'll be an
gospel.
Inspirational evening. That's for sure.
Of course, Cheyenne's performing.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then
down to the floor. Throw your hands.
Oh my God! You're going to do one of those numbers. I love.
Of course.
When you get down on the floor and throw your hair.
Roll around.
Yeah.
Praise Jesus.
And then next week we'll start the candidacy. I guess it's Kimberly O'Neill has Friday night at EJ's at 9 o'clock. And then Saturday we take off. And Sunday is at EJ's, no, it's at George's at 7 p.m. And that is Doug Weiss's show.
Doug Weiss's show, okay.
And... That pretty much. I mean, and then it's going to be candidates every single weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But the big thing is in January.
The big event is in January.
January 19th, and I have to say, on behalf of myself and Chris, we truly, truly thank this community for what they've done for us, this organization as a whole, and what we've been able to give back to you and the support that you've given to us. So come celebrate with us on January 19th at the Hilton Post Oak for Coronation 24, where we will be stepping down after a very, very fun year, but we're ready. Mm-hmm. I think we're ready.
69 days.
And look forward to somebody else taking over.
Mm-hmm.
However, the community really has been all about this, and this is why we're doing what we do.
Good.
Good. I'm glad it's been a good year for you.
It really has.
Good. And more to come.
Well, oh, yeah.
Oh, you know, your year isn't over yet.
This is not the end. It's only just a little step aside. Side step, as they like.
It'll be an emotional evening. But
well, of course, of course.
Kleenex is a big sponsor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been to these.
But this is all about Legacy Community Health Services as well. Mm-hmm. This is what our beneficiary has been for all year. And so it continues all the way through to the end.
Sure. This is the game you play to make the money.
Absolutely.
And it works.
It does.
It's been working for 23 years, and it's going to be
$1 at a time, it really does.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Because I know as an organization, you guys have raked in a big amount of money over the years. I can't even imagine what the total is.
We're ahead of where we were last year.
We can say that.
Yeah.
Just this year, we can say that.
Wow, that's nice.
So we're
that's
good.
Nice, good.
We're very.
It
happy.
Should be a it. The event. There's 72 courts all over the country in Canada and Mexico. Mm-hmm. So, a lot of those organizations will be represented at that evening's event. So to come and participate and see what we do as a whole in the big picture is just. It makes one speechless, really, to see the magnitude that one person's vision 42 years ago has become. So,
that's great. There we go. I've already talked to the candidates and to have them on the show.
Yes.
Various nights whenever they can get away and get on.
And I think all of them will be here next month.
Good. Because I want to have, I want to have them all in the group, and I'd like to have them individually, and I'd like to have them also closer to voting.
Yes.
You know.
I'm sure be that. They'll
gotta be get people's attention.
They'll be happy to work that.
That's what it's about.
Yeah.
Happy to work that schedule out
and,
with you.
And, you know, I can talk about the voting, but when the actual candidates come on and talk about it, then people listen more.
You know, Chris and I sat here last year in that position, so we know all about it. And we're going to make sure they're here, too, to endure. We have to endure. 1 o'clock in the morning after cocktails is a fabulous time in the morning. I hope all of you listen to this.
Or a drive from Galveston after cocktails to be on the radio.
And be on the radio.
And after being in heels since 6 o'clock, I hope you all are here. Thank you very much. Walking these shoes, but I'm sorry, I'm taking them with me.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I've really enjoyed this year.
It really has been fun, and we thank you very much for all you do.
You folks have been really great, and I loved the idea that you started out the year with, of you being on and then having different folks from your line. Mm-hmm. Come
it's
on.
Been really good.
That was really a nice idea.
That's good.
It worked out very well. I think this community got to be introduced to every single position and line of this organization, except for maybe some past monarchs. But
and a few
my God!
But you got the majority.
With your organization, we couldn't fit all the past monarchs in here.
Right. 23 years is a good long time.
Yeah, it sure is.
It
sure is. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we look forward to the candidates next month.
Super.
We'll see you soon.
You bet. Thank you. Now Falcon is here.
Now, I'm only here in face only, so if they want to look at me, that's fine. But actually, we got three other members here from World AIDS Day Houston.
Okay.
And they're about to sit down. Come on over, guys.
Ooh, that's pretty.
And they're going to talk to you.
Okay.
Okay. This first gentleman here, you're going to have to hold
Have a seat, have a seat, have a seat.
Go ahead. Hello. What's up, guys?
Hi, my name is Brian Levinka.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to After Hours.
And I am Timmy Martinez.
Hi, Timmy. Welcome to After Hours.
And I'm Matt Harris.
Hi, Matt. And welcome to After Hours.
Nice to see Thank you.
So... Tell me about World AIDS Day. I'm of the older generation, as you can tell, and I was around for the very first World AIDS Day, which were Days Without Art. And I remember museums covering up artwork and stuff like that. In fact, I even did a little video with Ray Hill about that,
way back when. But it has changed over the years, has a different focus, and so now what are we doing for World AIDS Day?
Well, we are trying, we formed a committee, the mm-hmm. World AIDS Day Houston Committee, to kind of make World AIDS Day more visible in the community. We feel like it's kind of faded away in the last couple of years.
You're absolutely correct.
I mean, it's December 1st, and you hardly ever see red ribbons these days.
That's right.
So we're trying to bring the focus back onto World AIDS Day.
Okay.
And that's kind of what we're about.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right, it has evolved.
So how are we going to do that?
Well, that's a good segue. We have a website, worldaidsdayhouston.org, which mm-hmm. contains all the information around the community on all the events that are going on.
worldaidsdayhouston.org.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'm very proud of it.
Good. Did you create it?
I did. That's my baby.
Ah, okay.
You know, I'm kind of one of those web geeks.
You're kind of a cute web geek. Yeah, web geek, yeah.
Oh. I have to give a shout out to my partner, David, who's listening in San Diego
hey.
On the internet. So I told him I would do that. Hey, Davey, I love you.
Oh, we're doing shout-outs now. Okay.
I'll
give a shout-out to my homie. Oh,
okay. I'm sorry. I had to do that.
I love San Diego. I have very good friends. My ex-landlord, actually. More like my dad, who lives in Chula Vista.
Yeah, he's in San Diego tonight, and I had to go to Black Tie by myself.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But you were having fun.
I was having fun. RuPaul, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, how can you not have fun?
I know, right?
Yeah.
But right now on the website we have about 15 different events going on.
Really?
It really should be called World AIDS Day Weekend at this point because mm-hmm. there is so much community involvement going on that we actually have representation from almost every organization in the community. We have Legacy, Bering, AFH, ARESUS,
the Montrose Council.
Mm-hmm. There's just so many people involved in this. And by doing that, we were able to accumulate a whole bunch of different events going on. So if you want to know what's happening
in the community, I do want to know.
That particular weekend, go to worldaidsdayhouston.org.
Okay.
And it'll give you a listing of everything.
Can you highlight a couple of them?
Why, of course.
Sure. First of all, AIDS Foundation Houston is having their luncheon on November 30th.
Mm-hmm.
And Carson Cressley from from Queer Eye is going to be their special guest that day.
Oh my goodness.
And Legacy is doing free HIV testing November 30th. Another thing that's going on, the GLBT Community Center is doing a World AIDS Day exhibition
mm-hmm.
and reception that weekend. The Counseling Center's having a candlelight observance.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Covenant Church is doing We Walk the Path Together. And I'm going to put Matt on the hot seat here because Illumination Project is something that Jane Wiener has been behind for how many years?
6 years.
Yeah.
We love Jane, by the way.
Jane Wiener's kind of been the driving force mm-hmm. behind getting all this together and helping identify the different events. And I was going to add, we've probably missed some events, you know. So if anyone goes out to the website and sees that there are events not listed, Brian, please, you put a contact.
Yes, yeah. Please email me on the contact, and I will definitely put it on the website so everybody can know about it.
Good idea.
Because we want everyone to know about all the community events.
Right.
This is truly a community-wide organization and celebration.
WorldAIDSDayHouston.org.
Yes, sir.
We have to say that over and over again so people
go
will
check
remember
it out
that.
Right now.
But the Illuminations Project, that's going to be at the Hobby Center on December 1st. It starts at 8 p.m. And we're also going to actually have tables set up for the different organizations.
What is the Illumination Project?
It's a...
The Illumination Project is a...
I'm going to make him talk.
He's sitting here looking pretty.
He is.
It's a benefit performance for HIV and AIDS mm-hmm. service providers here in Houston. And our two beneficiaries are Bering Omega Community Services.
Good.
And the Baylor Pediatric AIDS Initiative.
Good.
And
it's a benefit show.
It is. It's a performance.
Okay, what kind of performance?
It's mostly dance
mm-hmm.
with a little bit of performance art.
Oh, good.
And we've been doing it for 6 years now. And it's at Zocca Hall at the Hobby Center, December mm-hmm. 1st. Starts at 8 p.m. And it ends with a candlelight ceremony to honor those who've been lost and are still fighting the disease.
Very nice.
And that's actually on World AIDS Day, December 1st,
mm-hmm.
Saturday night at the Hobby Center.
Which is a Saturday this year, which we're very excited about.
And we're also going to have tables set up in the lobby of, mm-hmm. in the lobby of the Hobby Center.
In the Hobby Lobby.
Yeah. Hobby Lobby.
of the different organizations who are participating in this project. So if you want to learn more about the different organizations, you can not only go to the website and click on their links, you can also come out to the Hobby Center and visit their tables, and they'll have brochures and stuff. So if people want to donate or volunteer or even help us out in the future, that'd be great.
One of the things that's been really terrific about this project, this World AIDS Day Houston project, is that we got together earlier this year in around March, and we put out feelers to all the stakeholders in the community, and we said, look, we need to do something to bring World AIDS Day back and keep the promise. And the response was overwhelming,
mm-hmm.
and so many people who are dealing with this on a daily basis have come and put their time and energy into the meetings, into forming this committee, and it's really starting to take some momentum, and it's something that we can build on and really bring World AIDS Day back and bring the red ribbon back. You know, one of the things that Jane has talked about is how she saw someone with a red ribbon, and it was for heart disease.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's is that how far we come? Is that where we are now? You know?
And you're absolutely right. I think the public has become very complacent, and as a PWA myself, I'm really happy to see you do this project and get it going again. I just recently sat around and I thought, I have been living with AIDS for almost half my life. And I'm old.
Right.
I'll admit that, Jimmy, you're old. I can say that because he's my friend.
And, you know, the disease has changed over the years, but it's still a killer disease.
Right.
Yes, there is no cure.
It is a virus. Eventually, it will mutate.
Yes.
I mean, the death could come around again.
That's right.
Apathy will kill us.
You're absolutely correct on that.
This World AIDS Day is a wake-up call. We need mm-hmm. to wear red ribbons, go support the events around town.
Please.
Just remember the people that are dealing with AIDS and the people that have gone on.
And we really do want to push the red ribbons. Right. We don't only want to see them just during World AIDS Day weekend. We want to see people wearing them all year long.
Mm-hmm.
And we have an opportunity for people to purchase red ribbons from us. Very cheap. They are, you can get
$110 for 1,000.
Yeah, $110 for 1,000, or you can get $500 for $55. Mm-hmm. That is very cheap.
Or make your own.
Exactly. And I know they're going to
just pass them out. Yeah.
Right.
If you celebrate
Christmas, you got red ribbon.
Right. Well, and if you're gay, you can make your own red ribbon.
Exactly.
No, these are supposed to be plain red ribbons, not the fabulous ones.
No sequins or glitter.
No sequins. I was going to be bells.
No sequins. No blinking lights, please.
That's too much. They're going to be lighting up.
Well, back to the red ribbon. One of Jane's goals was she wanted to blanket the city with red ribbons, and different organizations and individuals have purchased them.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking for Legacy, I forgot how many thousands we've ordered, and we're going to have them at all our different locations.
That's great.
And one of the guys working on it, he bought 1,000 himself and has made them available to anyone, you know,
wow.
to pass them out. So it's kind of like, get the red ribbon back out to remind
yes.
people it's about AIDS.
It is about AIDS, yes.
And fighting AIDS.
And
fighting it, yeah. We're here until there's a cure.
And I am going to be very remiss that I'll get beat by Chris and Cheyenne out in the lobby if I don't announce what Arisa's is doing that weekend.
Well, yeah, because
I am a member of Arisa's.
We only got to part of Saturday. So.
Yeah, we only got to Saturday. But on Sunday, Arisa's is doing the annual Lights of Love tree decorating.
Mm.
And that is where...
Where's that going to be?
That's going to be at the BRB.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be at 7 p.m.
Okay.
That is something that Barbara Walker initiated a long time ago.
Yes, she did.
What she is doing is for a donation, and she's going to give out more information probably within the next couple weeks. But for a donation, we will create a decoration and read the name during a more or less a quiet time. Mm-hmm. We read the names off of people who have passed away or maybe even living with AIDS, and we decorate the tree with remembrance ribbons.
Yeah.
And we also have performances, and there'll be food and everything. That's going to start at 7 p.m., and that's the only thing I really have.
Okay.
Well, one of the things I want to add, when you go out to worldaidsdayhouston.org mm-hmm. and look at the events, it's repetition. Right? Okay. I got my degree in marketing and advertising. When you go out to worldaidsdayhouston.org, you'll notice that of the 15 or so events, a lot of them are free. There's no charge
to
participate.
That's really great.
And I look at it as there's no excuse not to take some time out of 3 days to observe.
At least one.
Right.
At least one event.
Whether it's a church service, there's a few that are mm-hmm. going on over that weekend, whether it's going to a tree of remembrance, anything like that. You can take the time just to acknowledge,
sure can.
You know, people that have passed and people that are living with HIV/AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's our whole point and objective is to get people thinking about the day, wearing the red ribbon, and just remembering it in an event or in some way. Because I think it's kind of faded, and that's a shame.
Yes, it has faded, and it is a shame. And we're here to get the word out. We'll be talking about it every week.
And which website are they supposed to go to?
WorldAidsDayHouston.org.
And one other thing, if they want to see what we're doing, they can always come to our meetings. They can contact us through the website.
Mm-hmm.
And if they want to come to one of our meetings, we normally have them at Tafia.
Our next meeting actually is Tuesday at Tafia at 6:30.
Where?
Upstairs. Tafia in Midtown. Monica Pope's place.
And where is that located?
At Travis and
West Alabama.
Yeah.
Right next to the Breakfast Club.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Right behind Continental Club.
I love
Monica Pope's food, by the way. Plug for her.
And she feeds us.
She takes care of us.
Yes,
she
takes care of us.
We don't eat dinner. We just go to the meeting.
Thank
it's
you,
fabulous.
Monica.
I probably gained 5 pounds since going to those meetings. Thanks, Monica.
But, so once again, they can always go to our website to order ribbons. If you're a business or organization and you wish to purchase ribbons from us,
mm-hmm.
contact us. We'd be happy to get them to you.
Okay.
Like I said, it's not just for this December 1st. It's for all year long. So if you want to give out red ribbons at your business, that'd be great.
Right. That would be wonderful.
Or even if you just have a passion for AIDS or you have someone that was lost to disease and you want to do something, you know, come to the meeting. You know, join us, what we're doing, and, you know, keep the momentum going because, you know, one thing that we learned last year in doing Illuminations was that there are so many other people doing this on a daily basis, and if we can get those people together and get them in one room, then we can really start to do something.
There you go.
And, you know, and it's been really, really successful, and there are a lot of people that we need to thank that we probably don't have time to thank, but it's just, it's been unbelievable. It's overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the first meeting that we had, I was moved emotionally because you could see how much people care in this room. And these are the people that are dealing with it every day.
Yep.
It's truly a community-wide organization where all of the major organizations in the community are represented. And it's very awe-inspiring.
It's just not the GLBT.
Right. No. Right. No.
GLBT, straight, friends, whatever. Right. You know,
community-wide.
Whatever you are.
Right.
You're part of this community.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, that's a fight we had a very long time ago when people thought of AIDS as a gay men's disease.
Right,
and
grid.
Now, when it was grid. And now, of course, this country has found out that it isn't.
What is it, like 19 million have passed from AIDS? I'm not sure.
I think it's between 18 and 19.
Yeah.
A huge number.
The real scary part is the youth, because they really do feel that they're invulnerable and impervious to
it. It's crazy.
Yeah, we've talked about that many times. It's my generation that is kind of wiped out.
Mm-hmm. There's a whole segment.
But now we have teens and young 20-year-olds coming up HIV positive too frequently.
Mm-hmm.
Too frequently.
Well, I think the impression that they have is that it's, you know, a manageable disease.
Yeah, right, you just take a couple of pills. And
they don't know people that have passed, that have died from AIDS.
I'd like to show them my body and see what these pills do to it.
I'm in between your generation and this generation where
mm-hmm.
I didn't really see people die, but I know that it was there, and
yeah.
You know, it's kind of like My mission is to educate and to get the word
yes.
out.
But AIDS affects everybody. I can't think of anybody in America that this has not touched one way or the other. You know, they've either known somebody or they see it. They have to see it and know that people are suffering and just how debilitating this disease is. And granted, compared to 20 years ago when people were dying of AIDS, now people are living with AIDS. So we made huge improvements with the medication, but that does not make it impervious.
Exactly. 25 years ago, I had a nice circle of gay men friends. Dozen and a half guys that I saw on a regular basis. We were friends. We went out. We did things. I'm the only one left.
Wow. Mm.
Everyone else is dead.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And it can happen again.
It will happen again. It's a virus. It will mutate.
That's right. And I don't want it to happen again.
I don't either.
Once is enough. We don't need it happening again. So if we can remind people that AIDS is still out there and keep the drug companies coming up with new drugs and maybe even a vaccine, that would be the greatest.
And it's just not a gay disease anymore. And that's, as I've been talking to people, that's one of the things I've been stressing. It's still with us. The face has changed a bit, but it's still with
us. It's still the biggest killer of young black women.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right. With my other organization, the Cold 45s, we see a huge increase in women clients.
Yes.
Female clients with children.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Okay, so thank you for being here. We will be talking about WorldAIDSDayHouston.org every week. And not just, I don't think we're going to stop after World AIDS Day. If you're going to keep that site up, then
the site's going to be up forever and ever.
Then people need to know about it.
If we have missed an event, please go to the website. There's a contact. Let us know about it. Brian will get it out there.
Good.
I will be on it.
He's on it. Right. He's fast.
Ooh,
with the website.
Thank you.
And one more plug for Illumination Project, which is December 1st at 8 p.m. at Zilka Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Our beneficiaries are bearing Omega Community Services and Baylor AIDS Pediatric Initiative. And our goal this year is to sell out, which we have not done.
And you get to watch a fabulous show.
It is an unbelievable evening of art. And all these artists, the other thing that's really unique about the evening is that everyone with the show, everyone gives their time, donates their time and energy. And the Hobby Center is fantastic. Continental brings all the artists in. We have artists coming in. House of Ninjas coming in from New York.
That's the one I'm looking forward to seeing. I've never been to this, and I've read about the House of Ninjas.
I've never been either. I'm so excited.
I mean, Jane has inspired me. I'm so excited to see it. And David, if you're out there, we're going. We got tickets. So, Illuminations Project, Saturday night, 8 p.m.
So, David, you got to be back from San Diego because you're
be back
going
on
to
Tuesday.
This. Oh, okay. Good.
And if you can't get back, we'll get Continental get you back.
Continental, our hometown airline.
There you go.
But, yeah, it's just a really unique evening. And, we need the support.
Okay.
And all the proceeds go to the two beneficiaries. So,
okay, thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you for having
us.
You bet. And remind everybody, while they are calling 713-526-5738 with your pledge of support for After Hours and KPFT, while you're doing that, you can go to your computer and type in that WorldAIDSDayHouston.org and see what's going on with that.
It just rolls off the tongue.
There you go.
Or you can click on kpft.org and place your make your pledge of support there.
Good.
Musical interlude?
Yes, we've got Theater Suburbia coming up.
Just identify with everyone who just loves girls. If you take me home, you might be surprised. There's more to me than meets the eye.
That?
I don't know. You pulled the CD.
Oh.
Sugar Beach.
Sugar Beach. That came from J.D. Doyle. He donated that to After Hours. When he was on the show last month, he played that. And
yes.
He happened to have an extra copy. And that's a nice up tune of women loving women. And we forgot to talk about the opening song that we did, because that is a Houston woman.
Is her pronunciation guide that came with all the propaganda?
Evrim. E-V-R-I-M. This woman was born in Turkey, Istanbul, Turkey. And
which one's Constantinople?
Istanbul is Constantinople. Yes. And moved to Houston and is a Houston artist.
Well, you had your choice. Well, either you're going to do the Constantinople joke or I was going to gobble like a turkey.
Oh, I see. Well,
but I haven't been stuffed recently, so.
Oh, well, that'll do it. Anyway, her song is Unanswered Questions by Evrim, E-V-R-I-M, and
you can go to her website, Evrimmusica, Evrimmusica, and her propaganda piece.
Oh, okay. .com?
Yeah.
.com.
.com. Oh.
And I think you would like to pick up a copy. That's very, very nice stuff. Now, it is time for... We've got a new control board here. So, we've got Theater Suburbia with us tonight. Welcome.
Hello, Jimmy.
Who have we got here?
Well, we have myself, Barbara Hartman, the director of the Christmas Cactus Christmas Offering at Theater Suburbia at this
mm-hmm.
time. And we have several actors with us, the
good.
Cast. They can introduce themselves.
Looks
they're
like just about all of them.
Yep, the whole cast. Simon, you're first.
Hi, I'm Simon.
And who do you play, Simon?
What's my character? Stuart Windsor. I'm sorry, I've been drinking since noon.
Shame on you, Simon. Judith?
I'm Judith Mallory. I play Adelaide, Fred's mother.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, I'm Juan Rivera. I play Ramon Ramirez, a very nice guy.
I'm Helen Hearn, and I play Cactus.
Ah, and who is Cactus?
Cactus O'Reilly is the detective in this this Christmas detective comedy.
Ah.
And she starts the play as somewhat disillusioned with the progress of her life.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out why as we go along.
Okay, do we have some other cast members?
Yes, we have.
Corey Grabenstein, and I play Fred.
And I'm Gene Griesbach, and I play Neville F. Smedley.
What's
about
the
like
F
that.
For?
I love Just that. I love that name. I love it.
Smedley.
Well,
so what is Christmas Cactus about?
Well, it's about the cactus herself. And she's somewhat disillusioned with her business as a detective, and
mm-hmm.
it doesn't feel like she has really accomplished anything. And the evening of Christmas Eve becomes a turning point for her, because we have two fugitives popping into her office looking for redemption and forgiveness and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite comical, and we have several miracles that occur during the play that make everybody happy at the end.
And that mother, oh my God.
I know, yes, she's something, isn't she?
I've seen the play this time before you came on, so I can kind of talk about it a little bit, but not much, because I don't want to give anything away.
No, we don't want to do that. We are playing from now through December 1st,
mm-hmm.
Fridays and Saturdays at 8:30, and we have two Sunday matinees on November 18th and the 25th at 3 o'clock.
Good.
Tickets, the telephone number for reservations is 713-682-3525.
And how much are the tickets?
Tickets for adults are $12, students and seniors $11, mm-hmm. and Sundays are $10 for everyone.
Oh, okay. We can talk about ticket prices because you're a 501c3 organization.
That's correct.
That's right, so...
That's correct. We brought our scripts with us so we could do you a couple of scenes.
Okay. Now, this is going to be fun because this is the first time I have seen the play before you've been here. So I'm going to be thinking about what I saw on stage happening.
I don't know if that's a good idea.
Because I went to preview.
That's correct. Preview was pretty good, too, I think.
I thought it was. That was very good.
Okay, well, the first scene that we're going to give you is part of the scene between Cactus and her secretary, and then her love interest, Stuart Windsor, the deputy district attorney, comes in.
Okay.
Okay. Take it away.
Of course it matters. You're a private investigator.
Yeah. Divorces, custody cases, professional peeping toms. How noble is that? All I do is track the broken bonds of love. No, Fred, I've learned too many ways to stick it to your friends and lovers in a double cross.
It's not always like that.
Per day, plus expenses... Fred, there's enough money to take a few months off, both of us, to think things through.
Think what? That you're crazy? I love my job, and I love working with you.
Fred, there are other jobs.
It's not just a job. And the lease. You've got to sign that lease. Sign it now. You can always break it later. Don't be in such a rush to close us down. Cactus, please, think about the great cases we've had.
Great cases?
Oh, remember when you crawled in through the massage parlor window and we found the gold-plated you-know-what? Oh, how about the great moosehead caper? You know, when you helped Gwendolyn Westlake steal her husband's moosehead right off the bedroom wall, and then the two of you buried it and sent him back a treasure map.
We didn't steal anything. It was community property.
Well, then, what about Molly Spencer? You were the one who found her two kids after her ex-husband kidnapped them. The cops gave up on that case, but it was like a mission for you.
No one else would take it.
How could you think of giving all that up?
How can you remember all that?
I typed the files.
Fred, I'm trying to be serious.
But sweetheart, you told me you wanted to be a private detective ever since you were a little kid.
Yeah, a private eye, a fedora, a trench coat, and a gun. That trusty piece of iron you always keep by your side. Following your instinct over your good sense. A solitary soldier seeking justice. Ha. I was 12 when I told Sister Marguerite I was going to be a detective, just like my camera on the TV. She was impressed. She suggested that maybe I needed more prayer.
No, I think you could use some now. No, God. Don't let her do this. How about your signature? Here. Now.
Fred, I haven't done anything yet.
I know. Sign. And Cactus, you can't really see yourself doing something else.
I'm trying. I don't know. I've got to think.
It's cold out there.
I think better on the fire escape, where I can listen to Tommy's sax.
You can't open the windows in just any office, you know. They don't let you have your own fire escape and meditation area.
Running away.
Stuart.
That's me.
You're the last person I expected to see here tonight. Fred?
Oh, no. I can't watch. I left something out in the hall. I'll just be a minute.
Awful nice of you, Fred. This is personal.
It's not going to be personal.
Don't do anything radical.
Do you ever lock your doors or windows?
We don't stand on formality here.
Formality has nothing to do with burglary.
Don't worry, they never steal anything.
So I heard. What's so interesting out there?
Just a little saxophone music. What's on your mind?
No time for pleasantries? I brought you a present.
A king bearing gifts or just a deputy king? A Christmas cactus. Where on earth did you find it? I thought every florist in town was sold out.
I have my resources. I know it's your favorite. Zygocactus truncatus. I looked it up. I know lots of things you like.
I hate that about you, Stuart. But thank you for the plant. Anything else on your mind? DA business.
And, Merry Christmas?
Merry Christmas and...
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Stuart, what's up?
You tell me, Cactus. Rumor has it you haven't signed your lease renewal yet.
Hey, did someone put out a press release?
Well, if it makes any difference, I approve. This isn't exactly the safest neighborhood.
It's safe enough.
So that's why you had to break in?
They had the wrong address. Lay off.
You know, you could always come and work at the DA's office as an investigator. The office open. Of course, you always ignore my advice. But the salary's good. It'd be worth your while. We could work together. You could finally do something about that car.
Leave my car out of this.
It's an eyesore.
It's a classic.
A 62 Plymouth is not a classic. It's too ugly to die. It's too ugly to steal. Cactus, let's not argue. Besides, if you really wanted to change, you could go back to law school.
Law school?
No, don't forget. I knew you when you were just Katie Bridget O'Reilly, when you were still interested in justice.
I still am. That's why I dropped out of law school. You're so tied up in the letter of the law, you wouldn't know justice if it mugged you in a blind alley.
You're being unfair, Katie.
It's Cactus.
Ah, yes. Prickly, but pretty. I think you'd make a great attorney.
Now you insult me.
Cactus, please. I'm doing my darndest to be nice. You know, some people think I'm a pretty charming guy.
That's what they say in the papers. It must be true.
I sent you a Christmas card.
You sent half the city a Christmas card? Which one was it? Ah, yes. Santa in court. You'll go far, counselor.
I'm trying. Look, Cactus, let's start over. Think about it. Why don't you come out with me tonight?
What?
So we have a second scene. We have time for another scene?
You sure do.
All right. Well, the second scene is after Neville F. Smedley and Ramon have broken into the office, and we're having a discussion as to why they are innocent.
The Tiny Tim Fund was designed to finance an $11 million construction project for a new wing of the Children's Hospital, but it was set up with a $2 million kickback, built in from the very beginning. Well, that's the way I figured it. All they needed was a patsy, just in case someone noticed that all the money was filtering out.
You.
Would a guilty man be so upset? You should listen.
And why should I listen to you?
Because I am an honest man.
Looks like we're all just a bunch of honest schmoes. So, who are they? Who's guilty?
I think maybe the mayor. Oh, and the contractors, Sawdust Construction.
The mayor? Always high on my list of culprits. Know him? Keep writing, Fred. You know how I hate these things.
Well, not personally. I shook his hand a couple of times.
Fred, if we're going to believe all this, if Smedley or anyone were nailed in a frame, of course there'd be no visible connection to trace back to the mayor, unlike the rest of His Honor's crooked cronies.
What I hated most was reading all the papers. They kept saying it was such a devious scheme, and I didn't have a clue what they were talking about.
Now tell me how he did it.
I wish I knew. Somehow all those checks were cashed. None of the names on the checks existed, but my name was all over every order.
That sounds like a real mess.
How'd you get here, Smedley?
Oh, they were taking me to the dentist on the jail bus. I got a bad feeling right back here. There was an accident.
A miraculous accident. That's how we met.
That's right.
Where'd you get the gun?
Oh, the bus smashed into the pawn shop. I grabbed it out of the window. But I know how to use it, I do.
I never thought the gun was a good idea.
Well, how often do you get that kind of chance? I wound up here. All I wanted to do was get the truth out of Marley.
I can see you're a real tough guy. A real killer.
He's not a killer. He's not a bad hombre.
I know. I'm no killer. But I'm no embezzler either. Now I'm a lousy fugitive. I was a model prisoner, though.
That man down there playing music, who is he?
Tommy. Everyone in the neighborhood knows him.
He plays here often?
Almost every night.
I remember this man.
So, the whole city's probably crawling with cops, looking for you.
I guess. What does it matter? The opportunity presented itself? Seemed like a good idea at the time.
Señorita Cactus, I must speak to you, please. I know that Neville Smedley is a sincere man, and you must help him if you can. I believe it with my heart.
What are you talking about?
When we were on the bus, I was praying very hard. I asked God for a sign that I would get to see my family again. My soul was very troubled.
A sign?
There was a guard in the front of the bus and one in the back. They carried guns. The bus was going very fast. It turned over. There was a great flash of light in front of my eyes and I thought I would die. I looked up and the window was pushed out.
The emergency exit. We were right next to it.
A miracle. I knew I must run. This man was the only other man who got out of the bus. We were given another chance. We are innocent. You cannot turn your back on a miracle.
And then we have a love interest scene.
Okay.
Okay. Fred's mother, who seems like a really tough lady, is being softened by the convict.
What's that?
I just thought I'd make some notes. If I list all the characters and what we have so far, then I can jot down some thoughts and figure it all out.
Really?
Oh, yes. I belong to the Mystery Book of the Month Club. Reading about crime is so relaxing, don't you think?
Maybe in other circumstances.
Anyway, I like to make lists of all the characters, their motives, and where they were at the time of the crime. Oh, and lots of other things. It's silly, but it amuses me.
I like lists, too. Ledgers, nice straight columns, bottom lines. I appreciate a good list. Mrs. Booker, I was wondering, is there a Mr. Booker? Is he likely to show up here, too?
Oh, no. He's been dead for years. It's just been Fred and me, all alone. You know, if we're going to be a team, maybe you should call me Adelaide.
Yes, Adelaide, and I'm Neville.
What's that you're looking at?
My file.
They've gathered a whole file on you? Ooh, can I see?
Well, I didn't do it, you know. This is just lies. I was framed.
That's good. Still in character. If I'm going to be your gun moll, you better tell me about yourself. After all, I'm on your side. That's what a gun moll does. She keeps track of your gun, your enemies, your aliases, that sort of thing. And keep you company, of course. Even tough guys need company.
I'm not always such a tough guy. It's something I had to learn.
Not really a tough guy.
It's very scary in jail. Especially if your credentials aren't up to par.
Credentials? What kind of credentials?
Well, crimes have a certain status. Being convicted of embezzling is not a status crime, not where I am. It's downright embarrassing.
If you could choose your crime, what would it be?
I guess I'd be a kissing bandit. I'm sorry. I don't know why I did that.
Oh, Neville, why, you're romantic underneath it all, aren't you? I guess we all are.
I don't think I've ever met anyone like you, Adelaide.
Count on it.
I need to jump in here, remind folks that they're listening to KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM. The show is After Hours, and we're talking to Theater Suburbia. And we just finished a couple of scenes for Christmas Cactus, the play now running through December 1st, every Friday and Saturday night. And that would be at 8:30.
That's correct.
Okay, just jump in here anytime.
That's correct.
I can do just about everything but the phone number and the address.
Okay, well, the phone number is 713-682-3525.
Great.
And the Theater Suburbia is located on West 43rd Street, 1410 West 43rd Street at Oak Forest.
Mm-hmm. That's just right down the way from Ella, right?
That's correct.
So that's that area.
That is correct.
And we also have our theatersuburbia.com. Now that would be theatra.
Theatra.
Very true.
Theatra. Yes, very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
Theatra.
Well, this has been a fun cast to work with. I've really had a great time directing
this show. I enjoyed the preview. Everybody is a character in this play.
We try to make them so.
We tried.
It worked, and it's funny, and it's. I just had a really nice evening.
Well, thank you for that, Jimmy.
So, you know, $12 is nothing to see live theater in this town, so there's no reason why you shouldn't have a full house every night.
We certainly hope so.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
But we'll give a show no matter what.
Good.
We'll give a show no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So give that number one more time.
It's 713-682-3525.
That's right. And Doris will call you back.
Yes, Doris will call you back.
Doris will call you back.
She sure will.
She will do that.
You know, this is the first time, I think, that Doris has not been here. Either Doris or Elvin.
That's probably true. And this is the first time I've done the show without Judy here.
Wow.
Because so, I've come here a couple of times as a director and
yes,
an actress.
That's right.
That's correct.
But she is at home listening.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Yeah, okay, so then she's going to come back and say, don't let her do that ever again.
Nah. Anyway, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you.
And good luck with the show. You know, I'm going to look at my schedule and see if I can't make it back again because
good.
It was so much fun.
Yeah, bring a date, Jimmy.
Or two. A cute one.
Okay. Thank you. We're going to go to a piece of music right now and then come back with Leather Ties.
No, I don't have your mic on yet.
Okay. There we go. Now I'm on the air. Good evening. Welcome to Leather Ties. This is Daddy Bear Robert. I'm sitting here reading this coronation thing. Did you read this pamphlet that Cheyenne left? It says, here in small print, I want to go to this coronation now just because of the small print here. Please no animals, live or dead, open flames, confetti or water allowed in the ballroom. Who's going to bring a dead animal to the coronation? I don't get it.
They invited Jimmy. I think they're talking about furs.
Oh, you think? I'm sorry, I'm flashing back to Leather Sir, Leather Boy in St. Petersburg when they got the live sheep on stage. I'm like, oh God, I didn't know the coronation did stuff like that. That's pretty funny. Well, good evening. Welcome to Leather Ties again, Daddy Robert. That was Grace Jones singing Sex Drive. That was the hard mix. The original mix is called Typical Male Thinks With His Dick, and we probably can't play that on the air because of certain words in that song. But
what's the first letter?
Huh?
What's the first letter?
There's a few. There's a few. I mean, now they blur her voice in some of the songs where it's got that kind of funky, distorted sound to it, but you can still understand the words if you listen carefully, so we don't need an FCC fine. So we just won't do that.
Yes, because we're having a hard enough time raising the money for Pledge Drive. 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT. We need your pledge of support. So
yeah.
Far, Goose Egg.
Mm-hmm. And congratulations to the Fire Dancers. The Fire Dance is this weekend. The Fire Dancers are having, I think it's number 27, if I remember correctly. 27th anniversary, if I remember right.
I don't remember.
So congrats to the Fire Dancers. I know Fire Dancers Dallas and all the other Fire Dancers from San Antonio and Houston are all in town partying and ripping up the entire Montrose right now. Good for them.
It could use a good ripping every once in a while.
Well, that is why they call it the rip cord. Okay, that's not why they call it the rip cord, but... Please, cough a little louder into the microphone, Virgin. Virgin is sitting in here with us right now. Hi, Virgin.
Hey.
Last month, we were talking about safe and sane fetish play, and we kind of ran out of time, so we're going to go back to that topic and finish off. Last month, we talked about blood sports. We talked about water sports. And we started talking about fisting, and Jim, we ran out of time, so Jimmy insisted that we continued the conversation. So we're going to continue the conversation, and we're going to get into some fisting and some wax and play and do's and don'ts and stuff like that. So I think we should probably start with wax, since Jimmy is mildly preoccupied at the moment. Wax. Wax play is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you're using open flames. Be careful. I mean, you know, put your little LeMay drapes away, whatever you're doing.
Wash it with a cologne before.
Yeah. Don't wear cologne. Don't wear lotion on your body, things like that. Wax, it's fun. It's versatile. There's so much things you can do with wax and a lot of things. Now, here's some true or false. There's a lot of myths and a lot of misinformation about wax play. So we're going to bust some of those tonight. We will start out with never use scented candles. That's supposed to be a big no-no, that the oils in scented candles make them burn so much hotter that they're going to burn your skin and cause blisters and scars. And that's not true. Unscented candles burn around 102 to 104 degrees. Scented candles, they will melt at about 103 to 106 degrees. There's not that much difference in temperature. If you're going to use scented candles, and I know a lot of people who use the scented candles, you just adjust where you're dropping the wax from onto the body. You bring it up a little higher so the wax has enough time to cool properly, another extra degree or two. So if you're thinking of dropping, if you're using unscented candles, you'd be dropping wax anywhere from 6 inches to 10 inches away from the body. You just go a little bit higher from that with scented candles. So, yes, you can use scented candles. That is some misinformation. I think it's just, I don't even know how that one got started, but yeah, you can use unscented candles. Use scented candles.
It's probably something sprayed there from someone walking to a leather bar smelling like bayberry or melon.
Well, yeah, but I mean, at least pick a candle scent that's going to go with, you know, your sensory...
With the ambiance of what you're going
through. Well, I mean, yeah, with, I know a lot of females who are into BDSM play, they like the scented. I know men that like scented, but they pick other scents. I mean, you know, obviously you don't want to be smelling like, you know, rose perfume or your grandma when you're done playing. So, yes, you can use wax. You can use scented candles. Just watch what you're doing with the scented candles. 102 to 106 degrees, that's the average temperature of a hot tub. Think of it that way. When you get in a hot tub is usually between 100 to 106. So, same thing with wax. Whether it's scented or unscented, it's going to burn. The wax is going to actually melt between 102 and 106 degrees, 108 degrees max.
Yeah.
And it's just adjusting the level of where you're dropping the wax from. The other big thing that you hear is never use beeswax. Because beeswax burns. I mean, beeswax candles are very expensive. I don't know why you'd use them for this type of play, but beeswax is, it takes a much higher temperature to burn, considering not really that much higher, but beeswax candles also cool slower. They last longer because the wax, it takes a higher temperature to melt the wax, so beeswax candles last longer. That's why they're more expensive. But beeswax candles, they melt too hot, they'll burn your skin, they'll scar your skin. Yes, this is true, but again, to a certain extent. It's whereas unscented burn from 102 to 104, scented candles burn from 103 to 106, beeswax candles, about 108, 112 degrees, where a beeswax candle is going to start melting. The wax is going to melt.
And it's all about sensitivity, too.
This is true. For beginners, use unscented or scented candles. If you're into, if this like is a major fetish of yours and you're really into the hardcore experience of the pain, pleasure of the sensation, beeswax candles probably are a good thing for you. Definitely, if you're not if you're a beginner, don't use something like this.
And if and to sound a little strange out there, like they say with clothing, you know, test it in a small area.
Oh,
test
yeah.
Test it on your arm first, so that way. If you do have a bad reaction to it, and you do have to see a doctor, you know.
But again, I don't care if you're playing top or bottom in the situation. If you've not played with this before, do it on yourself first.
Yeah.
Because that way you will know, if you're playing the top in the situation, you know where to hold that candle so it's not going to burn and scar, but you're still going to get a really good sensation out of it. If you're being in the bottom and it turns you on to see, it's probably going to turn you on to do it to yourself. Take your leg or your arm and drop wax on it, and you know, high up, and then get low and lower until it's at a temperature and a position, the height where you're getting good sensation, but it's still not burning your skin.
Yeah. I was thinking from the sense of if you have to go to the doctor or the emergency room about it, you know, showing up with wax on your nipples.
Please trust me, they've seen it all. I mean, don't you remember that what was that movie, Jackass, where they were putting toy cars up the anus, up the rectum? Oh, please, they've seen it all. I don't think there's anything that could shock somebody in an ER, especially one in and around the Montrose area.
That sounds like a next competition. I can say the competition for some of the groups were
not going to say a word, but no, we'll get into that off the air.
Jimmy's got to look like been there, done that.
Yeah, the next big piece. The next big piece. Well, when I say next big piece, Jim, I wasn't meaning you, but and if I was, you've got to prove that. Ooh, look, you brought presents. You got a present.
It's for
Ooh.
You.
Oh, it's got bears. What are you, somebody give me a present. Hold on just a second. Oh, those are cute.
I saw this. You know, sometimes, before you open that.
I don't want to tear the paper.
Sometimes when you're out shopping, you see something, and you immediately think of a person. When you see that.
Oh, Lord, now I'm afraid.
When I saw this, you came to mind immediately.
Oh. Too flat to be a pool set.
Shut up. It could be a little table game.
Yeah, the paper came from Germany.
I love it. I don't want to open it because I don't want to ruin the paper.
It's black paper with gold-leafed bears on it.
Gold-leafed teddy bears. They're really pretty. And I'm a blonde bear, so yeah, that works. The cute little blonde bear.
So he's going to be really careful
I'm
in opening
careful
this.
I'm going to be peeling this off. So were you listening to what we were saying, Jimmy?
A little.
Okay. So, getting back to it, shut up, Chris. Damn, cut off your own mic, okay? I got your yellow thing from last time. I'm going to get it wet in the way you don't like, and then I'm going to throw it at you.
Looks like mine already looks like it has been. It's got an ugly stain on it.
Well, you know.
Ooh, don't throw it at me, said Br'er Rabbit.
Oh. You know, ejaculate does do that. So. I was going to say something else, but I don't know if I could say that word on the air. But yeah, ejaculate
what,
will. No.
No. Oh.
I was going to say jizz.
Yeah, jizz, spooge. Cum, spooge.
I like spooge.
Sperm.
Spooge is such a nasty sounding word.
It does.
It does sound nasty.
I just noticed the list is missing from in here, so I guess anything goes.
Okay.
Oh, I'll bet not.
So, when we're talking about wax, I'm slowly peeling the tape off this so I don't tear the paper, so we'll keep talking. The other big, a lot of misinformation with wax play, don't use votive candles or tea light candles, yes or no?
I would say yes, use them.
Exactly. You can use them. They say don't do it because it'll cause permanent scarring.
Really?
Well, you know what's going to cause the permanent
scarring? Beeswax is the one.
Beeswax you can use.
Really?
It's not for beginners, but it can be used.
Oh.
You just need to adjust how you play with the beeswax and know what kind of wax you're playing with.
And the height?
Drop it from the higher.
Yeah.
But the big problem people have with votive candles and tea light candles and why they say, oh, never use them, votive candles and tea light candles have those little metal, tea light candles come with a little metal tin.
Yeah, and that can get hot.
Well, duh, take it out of the metal tin. You know, a little common sense here if you're going to play. And the wick itself goes through the bottom. It's got that little metal circular thing that the wick clamps down in. Take it off.
Oh.
The wick is still going to be in the candle. It's still going to burn.
Sure.
Take the metal off of the candle. If it's a votive candle, take the little metal thing off the bottom. Most votive candles, they have the little paper sticker on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Peel that off. Take off the little metal clip.
Why do that?
So it doesn't burn your body. If you're going to set this on your body, the metal is going to heat up and it's going to cause a scar.
Okay.
Take the metal off of the candle.
Okay.
Same thing with tea lights. Take the thing out of the little metal tin that it comes in. And
how about using the big Mexican religious candles? I think that's kinky.
Okay. That goes right back into using scented candles and unscented candles. That kind of candle wax is a very soft paraffin wax, and it's actually very good to use.
Oh.
So a three-way with St. Francis of Assisi is good.
Whatever. Yeah.
Don't give me any dirty looks. I got Daddy Bear Robert doing a leather segment, cooing over wrapping paper.
Hey, this is kick-ass wrapping paper, okay? And it came all the way from Germany. And I spend enough time indulgent that I appreciate this.
I knew you would. That's why I used it.
What were you talking about earlier? Malaysia?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where my latest fan is.
Oh, I see.
Look, I got all of it off with only just a little bit of scarring.
Yeah,
on the
I see
paper.
That. Okay. So you're going to talk about what this is
on
the air. And the name, it's a book. It's a children's pop-up book.
It's
and the name of it.
Barnyard Pop-Ups, and it's called Pig Wants to Play. Okay, we're going to have to detour for a second.
Yeah, because you have to read it all.
Okay, well, the first page, Piggy is sitting there, and he's got kind of a sad face, and Cow, the cow is sitting there, standing there in the barn, and I guess they're like on the grassy field, and the first page says, Lonely Pig just wants to play. Cow says, sorry, no time today. It's okay, I don't like cows anyway, they're bitchy. So Piggy goes running across, and he sees the farm dog, and the farm dog is like, I guess he's a sheep dog, because there's some sheeps here. That's a whole another scholar.
Oh,
thing.
It is.
So Pig sees farm dog jump and leap, chasing lots of woolly sheep. Oh, must be a Stevie Nicks concert. Turn the page. Now dog is still herding the sheep down a path, and Piggy's getting all excited, and it says... Pig joins in, but it's too late. Farm dogs chase them through the gate.
Aww.
Turn the page, and now Piggy sees Horsey jumping over
a gate?
Gates. Pig sees Horse jump in the air. I would love to play up there. Pig says Snail. Snail is somehow... Boy, that's a big-ass snail. Talk about some escargot there.
pig, says Snail. Don't look so glum. You can join in this muddy fun.
Oh, yes.
And I love here where he's jumping into the muddy. It's oink. It's cute. Okay. Now Pig is happy with her friends. Her? Oh, that ruined it for me.
Sorry.
Okay, we're going to change the her to him because, I mean, look at that tail.
Yeah.
Look where it's positioned, right between those legs.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Pig is now happy with his friends playing all day in their pens. And again, oink.
Oink.
I love it.
That was too cute.
Thank you, Jimmy. I hate you, Jimmy.
I think I see a show of shows that out of that.
Pig wants to play, and, you know, I just...
Well, remember, I wasn't the one who was Miss Piggy during the opening. That was Daddy Rose. She was Miss Piggy.
And as a matter of fact, here on the inside...
Ooh. Atelier Designer Collection paper. I'm impressed. Beautiful paper. I love it. Thank you.
I bought it a while ago, waiting for the perfect person.
Yeah. Love you.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to take this paper home, though, and I'm going to frame this. This is going to go, like, hang over my toilet in the bathroom or something. But it's beautiful paper. I love it.
And then you have bathroom reading.
Yeah. No, actually, I have a book that I got over at Bookstop. It's the history of toilet writings, off toilets, off the stalls. Oh, it's hysterical.
Yes.
I'll bring that in one day. We'll just read it out there.
That would be fun.
That would be fun.
But anyway, back to wax.
Mm-hmm.
Votive candles, tea light candles, yes. Take them out of the metal. Keep the metal away from your body, obviously. You know, the only thing metal is good for in your body is handcuffs, clamps, and body jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing you need to watch out for. But one of the best things to do, you were talking about those big prayer candles that you get like at Fiesta or whatever. Those are a soft paraffin wax. If you've ever stuck your finger on it, you can push it down. You can actually mold the wax in those things.
No.
It's the same kind of, and this is a really good thing to do if you're going to get into some really fun, like total body wax. Go to a beauty salon or some beauty supply store.
Mm-hmm.
And the wax that they use, the paraffin wax that they use for bikini waxing, waxing your eyebrows, get a block of that stuff. Melt it down, use a double boiler, melt the wax down, put in a crock pot and keep the crock pot so the wax stays, you know,
liquid,
melted.
Yeah.
But the paraffin wax that they use for that, number one, that's really good for wax play. It's really good for, you can take a ladle and just literally pour all these beautiful designs on somebody's body.
Mm.
Then just set tea lights and things like that into the wax while it's still warm.
Oh.
And the paraffin wax you just poured on the person's body will hold those tea lights in place or the votive candles in place, and you can just light them up for their birthday, you know?
Happy birthday!
Yeah. I actually watched a demo. It was this one person's birthday and turning 35, and they literally covered them from the neck down, totally nude, neck down, with this paraffin wax, drawing all these beautiful designs with the paraffin wax and then setting 35 candles on the body until all the candles burned out. And it was very beautiful to see. It's a very erotic and a very beautiful thing to do and to watch. You just need to know what you're doing. And if you are the top in the situation with wax play, candle play, you need to make sure that you're paying very close attention, because too much wax poured or dripped in one spot can burn, and it will get uncomfortable. You're not trying to make them squirm and really hurt themselves or cause permanent damage. This is all about the sensual experience and getting to that endorphin rush.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it's about. It's not about permanently scarring someone.
That thin line between pleasure and pain that you have.
You want to hit the pain, but the pain needs to be pleasurable. Yeah. It doesn't need to be excruciating. That's a whole different type of play, which we can talk about another time.
That would be for pain pigs.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Grunt. boy, there's a slave I know. His name is, he goes by the moniker Grunt. That's the name his sir gave him. So Grunt is a major pain pig. Okay, another misnomer about wax is you can't reuse wax. Why the hell not?
Well, you can. I mean, if you make candles, you can reuse it and reuse it.
You don't even necessarily need to reuse candles or make candles. I mean, candles, you can get, you know, cheap candles, you know, at the dollar store, whatever, tea lights, whatever. But any wax you use, especially if you're using paraffin wax, and I really think it's a very interesting, very cool, and you can dye the wax color and create all kinds of beautiful patterns on the body.
Didn't you ever do that when you were a kid? You got an old milk carton.
Uh-huh. And you fill it up with different layers
of
wax.
Ice cubes, and then you put the hot wax in it, and you have this crushed ice
and all kinds of stuff.
This kind of open work candle thing going.
But you can reuse wax. If you're doing some heavy wax play, the easiest thing to do, like I said, using the paraffin wax that you can get at a beauty salon or a beauty supply store, and like Sally's, you know, and go in there, get this wax. Using this wax on the body, even as hairy as he is or as furry as I am, that wax, all you have to do is just heat it up a little bit more, and you can literally slide your hands in it and just rub it and peel the whole sheet off the body. You literally can get an impression of somebody's body with this stuff if you use enough. And the stuff that they use for body waxing also has moisturizers in it, so it's very good for the skin. And most of the time it's unscented. You can get the stuff unscented. I prefer it unscented because the body wax, it always comes in feminine scents.
Yes.
I don't like that. Get the unscented stuff. So, yes, you can reuse wax. Even if it's candle wax, you can reuse candle wax. You just scrape it off the body. How do you get it off?
That's what I was going to ask.
Especially with...
with hairier dog.
With, yeah, and I'll tell you one thing. A couple of years... Oh, God, I want to say it was about 4 or 5 years ago. We were bartending for a fundraiser, doing a guest bartending, and we did a couple of demos, and we did wax. It was for a 4th of July thing. So I said, okay, I'll do it. And so what they were going to do was melt wax across my entire body. I was just wearing a jock. And make an American flag with the wax.
Oh.
So they had red, white, and blue wax.
Cute.
Well, by the time that came around... Well, by the time I went home, basically at the time I was sitting with my legs crossed together, fully lengthwise. Boy Darren was doing my boots while they were doing the wax, because he was doing a leather demo, a boot demo.
Oh, okay.
How to shine boots properly and
take care
of your leather. And at the same time, I'm having all this wax put on me. Well, I didn't realize it, but they decided to fuse my legs together. And I really couldn't feel it. I mean, I felt the first few drops, but I'm like, oh, that's cool, you know, because I had one person here with on my chest and my stomach with wax, and I had another person down here dripping wax here and there. Well, they thought it was amusing to fuse, and you can see how hurt my legs are.
Yeah.
They fused my legs together, all the way up to here, all the way up to the cross.
All the way up to Christmas.
Yeah, all the way up to Christmas. The Christmas balls were not happening. But... And they literally, I could not get my legs apart. They had to pry my legs apart. And, I mean, that hurt.
Oh, I'll bet
it hurt really bad.
Yeah.
So it was, like, really slow. But walking home that night, I had people driving by with their windows down shouting, "Leper!" Because all this wax had melted together and it's just purple splotches all over.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
When I got home, I took pictures of it because I thought, oh, this really is bad. Now, again, whether you're hairy or smooth, how do you get this stuff off?
Yeah.
How do you get wax off? The easiest way to get wax off is to get in the tub.
Without water?
No, with water. Soak a nice hot tub. Fill up a nice hot tub, as warm as you can stand it. Get in the tub, lay down, relax. The wax is going to heat up enough that you can literally just take a sponge and wipe it off your body.
Ooh.
And even hairy, because I've gotten into fire play, like, and even Mistress Elizabeth did fire play on me one time. She says, I'm never doing fire play on you again, because when your fur burns, it smells. <It's> like,
well...
Yeah, but yeah, it does. So.
Of course it does. It's hair.
Yeah, it's hair. But with wax, it came out of my hair with absolutely no problem, no pain. And you just soak in the tub for a little bit and let the wax heat up some more and loosen up, and then you can just literally rub it off your body. Now, once you do that, you're clean. Now you've got this wax ring around your tub. So how do you get the wax ring off your tub? The easiest thing, the easiest thing, again, if Ajax, Comet, whatever you scrub your tub with, but the fastest way to get the ring or any residue of wax off your tub, use the strainer for when you pull the plug on the tub.
Yeah,
wax will flow, but as the water gets down, you're going to need something to block the wax from going down into the drain.
Yeah.
But the easiest way to get it off the sides of the tub and off the body of the tub those plastic ice scrapers, windshield scrapers.
Yeah.
Just get a plastic windshield scraper and just, you can And just peel it off in a sheet.
Okay.
Off your tub and then clean your tub as you normally would.
Yeah.
So, if Chris, what is that
all? What? I was adjusting my
You were adjusting yourself?
Adjusting the seat.
Oh.
The or seat or your seat?
I mean, if you can't find I mean, finding an ice scraper in Houston is a little tricky.
Dollar store.
You can find them. Money knives.
We know. I mean, you can get them. Go to any auto shop. AutoZone carries them. It's not a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
And why do you always see every winter some idiot scraping their windshield with a credit card or a spatula from the kitchen?
A spatula from the kitchen will work just as well, yeah. Not a batter one, not for baking, but I mean a hard plastic.
The spatula.
So great. Now, shampoo is really good. Palmolive or any dishwashing liquid, it's a grease cutter. It's going to get to get the wax off easily.
Yeah.
I mean, you do need to use some kind of detergent to loosen it up, especially if you're hairy.
Mm-hmm.
And Palmolive works great. Most shampoos, moisturizing shampoos.
Sure.
Or conditioner.
Oh.
Works really well because it's got enough grease cutter in there that it will pull the wax off your body easily. Now, wax play, of course, you can end up getting a few kind of wonderful red splotches and an occasional blister here and there that goes with the territory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you just can't prevent that. That's part of the fun of it. So, I mean, what do you do if you get a blister or burn marks? Obviously, well, the first thing you do is you call up the person who gave them to you and say, thank you. And then treat it like any other
burn
or blister.
Mm-hmm.
You would use Neosporin or some other antibiotic ointment.
Sure.
You know, if it's a blister, you know, I can't stand seeing them, so I'm going to pop it. I don't care if they tell you not to.
No.
But, you know, just take care of it like you would any other normal burn, like if you burned your finger picking up the skillet or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, any questions on wax?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay.
That was very good.
Now, you want to get into the fun fisting part that we didn't get into last time?
Ooh.
See, Jimmy's like, ooh, he brought me a present. He doesn't realize what I brought him to look at and fondle and play with. We were talking about different types of toys.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you forgot this one at home.
No. This is an Adonis.
Oh, yes.
I've seen that one.
Holy.
This is basically a latex toy that is molded in the shape of a hand, and it is about the size of a small hand.
Yeah, with fingers together.
Yeah, thumb folded and everything.
Yeah.
It is, and if you look at the wrist size and everything, it's pretty comparable to what you have right there.
Yeah.
This is a smaller version. They also have larger versions. They also have one that's called the fist, which is like this.
Yeah.
I've seen that one,
and
too.
It's not just the hand. It does go
all the way up to the forearm, basically. That's how long, how big this toy is.
Think of an opera glove going there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An opera glove. So that's how she hits the high notes. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
This is a beautiful piece of work.
Yeah, it's a wonderful toy.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this one's called the Adonis. I think they make three or four different versions. One's called the Adonis, one's called the hand, one's called the fist.
Mm-hmm.
You can get them pretty much at any online store that sells rubber toys.
Ooh.
And I don't know if you can get them locally.
Probably not, especially lately.
Yeah. Well, I know locally you cannot buy something in the shape of a penis, but that's not the shape of a penis.
No, it isn't.
So they could carry it. I don't know if they do or not, but you can always check with the local vendor.
I was probably one of the last ones that was able to buy an adult toy at Hollywood.
Not saying a word.
Yes, I bought one for a friend, and he's still trying to get it all in.
Your friend's name is Jimmy Jr. and you're sitting on him right now?
No, it was a close friend of mine who
Okay, I won't say a word. So let's get into
okay,
the whole concept.
Okay, this is awkward as knowing that my aunt has one because my mother bought one for her.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's called oversharing. Your mother and your aunt are both going to kill you for saying that.
Well, my aunt lives in an even more backwater state than Texas.
Wow.
Arkansas?
South Carolina.
Ooh.
Hey, Stephen Colbert's from there. I wouldn't say anything because if he gets a hold of that, he will chew you up on the air.
Not until his writers get back.
Mm. That's fine. I can still download it, cut that little snippet out, and send it to his show so they'll have it when they get back.
No, I already did it.
Hey, it would be good publicity for KPFT.
Hey, supposedly Michael Savage mentioned me.
And speaking of KPFT...
Chris?
Oh, me? I can't see you. That's a good thing.
Can you not hear me?
I'm trying to avoid it.
I see. Speaking of KPFD, we've got a fun drive going. But the phones aren't ringing because we haven't been reminding folks about it.
713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT. Hopefully you're going to kpft.org and placing your pledge of support.
Yes, we certainly hope you're doing that.
Why don't we take a 5-minute break and play some music to give people a chance to call, and then they won't have to compete.
713-526-5738.
And then when we come back, the fist.
We're going to talk about handballing and fisting, so right now we're just going to be on fire. Is that the next song, I'm on fire?
Yay.
To Fabiola, I'm on fire.
The news is coming
out. Wrong button.
Oh my God.
And that was To Fabiola. The first song was I'm on Fire. The second song was Freak Out.
Oh, that's...
To Fabiola. Basically, they got the name of the group. It's a group from Europe, Belgium, basically. The Queen of Belgium, her name is Fabiola. Queen Fabiola. Great drag name, but it really is a queen's name. And the Queen of Luxembourg, which is the country just south of Belgium, mm-hmm. is also named Queen Fabiola. There are two Fabiolas. So, two of the members of that group are from Luxembourg, and two of the members of that group are from Belgium, so they called themselves Two Fabiola, after the two queens.
Your little note was covering the band name. I thought the band name was Typhoon.
No, the band name is called Two Fabiola. That was their first CD, Typhoon. They only put out two albums before Zora, the lead singer, quit to go solo, and then her solo career went down the toilet.
Isn't that the curse of German bands? Or any band?
Pretty much any. I think the only one that's successfully done is like Gwen Stefani.
Timberlake.
So still my chair.
Timberlake doesn't count.
Well, I guess well, I'm still really Judas chair, though.
Well, I don't even call him Timberlake. That's just an easy bake, okay?
Okay. He's cute, though.
I do have to let you know one thing.
I would kick him out of bed for eating crackers, but I wouldn't kick him out of bed for eating me.
I prefer the phrase I got from the movie, Urbania. I wouldn't kick him out of my ass.
I'm not even going to touch that. I'm not going to touch that, Chris.
But I am going to touch this, though.
Okay. play with my fist, but don't kill the microphone, okay?
Too late.
I do have one little bit of thing that'll make you happy. I know all of our segment hosts like to know that they've touched somebody out there, and I can tell you that you've got somebody interested in wax play now.
Good. It's a lot of fun. One other thing I want to touch on with wax play. If you're going to do this, I mean, a lot of fetish play that we do, a lot of people use rubber sheets or they get those plastic tarps for easy cleanup. Don't do this with wax. Wax is hot. It will melt them. The best thing to do is an old sheet or lay down terrycloth towels or something that's not going to melt or...
Yeah.
Melt you to it. But, I mean, the best thing to do is just dry floor, or if you're going to lay on something that is not going to melt and something that's not flammable, obviously.
We'll discuss laminating of yourself at another show.
No, that mummification is a whole different thing, yeah. So, if you're going to do that, please definitely don't use rubber sheets or plastic tarps or anything. Use something that's not going to melt.
And they do have leather scented candles.
Yeah.
I've seen those.
You take the leather scented candles and you put them in the corner just for the atmospheric smell, you know, the aroma.
Okay.
You don't use them on your body.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Don't always waste leather.
Yeah.
Leather.
So, getting into the handballing.
Well, Jimmy will be in the bed.
Jimmy can just suffer out there until he gets in.
Jimmy can download the archives.
Thank you. You can download all the programs from KPFT from the morning till midnight, and us, off kpft.org. Most people call it fisting. That's how it's commonly referred to. That's kind of a misnomer. Most people can't take an actual closed fist. Other people call it, I mean, the more common name in the BDSM world is handballing. Don't ask me why. I don't know. I don't play handball. I play tennis, but I don't play handball. And don't even talk about pool. I know that's where your brain was going.
You were discussing sports, not, you know...
Well, yeah, but that's where some of these terms come from. I mean, why do they call it water sports? It's not a sport. I mean, you know, are there teams?
Could be.
There is water polo.
Probably started by some German saying spit, and everyone just changed it to sport.
Okay. Well, spit, that's a whole different fetish from... you have piss play, and then you have spit. You know, you have yellow hanky, and then you have pale yellow hanky. They are two different hanky colors, okay? You have primrose, and then you have lemon. But anyway, fisting, the things you need to know. Obviously, with any other fetish, if it turns you on to see it, then it will probably turn you on to do it, whether you're the top or the bottom of the situation, or whether you like it, either way, it doesn't matter. Things you need to be careful of, trim nails. The best thing to do when you trim your nails, trim them down as close as you can, then take a nail file. Filing from, if you're looking at your hand, file from the top of the nail down so you create a curved, smooth edge. so there are no hangnails or anything, and there's no rough edge to the nail that you just used clippers on. You don't want to have flat rough edges on your nails. So take it across the top like they do in the salons, and go down.
Or just go get
on
a,
the nail.
Or just go get a manicure
away from your knuckle.
Yeah, away from the knuckle. Safety issues as far as transmission of diseases and things. You can use lube, regular over-the-counter lube like Wet or whatever. You know, Astroglide or whatever the hell it is. Most people have a lot of chemical reactions to most of those lubes on the market. So the best thing to do for lube, use J-Lube, Crisco. For people who don't know Crisco, it's the old joke, but, you know, it really does. It's vegetable oil. Your body can absorb it. It's not a chemical. J-Lube basically comes in a powder form. You mix it with water. J-Lube, the only way to get this stuff off is with salt water, so it does not dry out.
Crisco, not just for your grandma's baking goods.
Thank you. I mean, but J-Lube, like I said, it comes in a powder form. It was originally designed by the animal husbandry department for inseminating animals. And this stuff, like I said, it doesn't dry out. It mm-hmm. doesn't get cakey.
Yeah.
So J-Lube, as long as it's there, if it even starts to get a little gummy, you just sprinkle water on it, and it goes right back to its original consistency. Mm. The thing you need to know, J-Lube, Crisco, most lubes, think protecting your hands as well as protecting the person that is receiving the fist. You need to be using gloves. You know, any minuscule scratch or cut on your hand mm-hmm. can transmit something, a disease.
Yeah, and you think you can file your nails down, but still there's the kind of a ridge there that can may cause a problem.
Yeah, and so wearing gloves does also help sure. with that. Because being the bottom in a situation like that, you can feel any tiny little hangnail or anything. You really can. Do not use latex gloves. I think condoms.
Well, not if you're using Crisco.
Well, no. Even if you're using... most latex-compatible lubes aren't good for this type of play. Mm-hmm. The lubes that are good for this type of play are more industrial strength, if you want to say. You know, they've got a lot of products on the market, like elbow grease and mm-hmm. things like that. And to me, elbow grease, fine, if that's what you want to use. It's a really overpriced Crisco. And it dries out, and again, it's chemical.
I've seen films where they use something that's kind of slimy.
That's J-Lube.
Okay.
It's clear, slimy.
Yeah.
Basically, J-Lube, you can buy a bottle of the stuff. It's in powder form. Mm-hmm. You just mix it with water.
Oh.
I don't remember if you remember a few months ago when I had the Nomads on here. They had mm-hmm. the Nomads run. They had J-Lube wrestling.
Ooh.
As one of their games.
Damn, and I missed that.
They got one of those kiddie pools that's about the size of this sound room
mm-hmm.
and bought an entire case of J-Lube.
Oh my goodness.
And mixed it so there was like this much J-Lube.
Oh,
I mean, it looked
God.
Like water.
Wow.
And they had J-Lube wrestling, and then they bought an entire case of salt, the canisters of salt, because the only way you can get J-Lube to dissolve and get off of you is salt water.
Okay. Mm.
So that's easy cleanup. Crisco, easy cleanup, because it's all natural, basically. Mm-hmm. Your body can absorb it. It's not a big deal. Other things like elbow grease and other things that are specifically designed for this type of play, basically, they're chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a chemical reaction or a chemical burn.
Yeah.
Just like you can with any other over-the-counter lube, like Astroglide, Wet, whatever.
Yeah.
Jose, whatever the lube is. When you think of lubes for this type of play, most lubes that are geared for this type of play and the most things people prefer to use as lubricant
mm-hmm.
are not latex compatible.
Right.
So latex gloves is kind of stupid. It's like a latex condom. It's going to dissolve and melt and break and crack.
Mm-hmm.
Get vinyl gloves.
Okay.
We talked about this the last time, about using vinyl gloves for all different kinds of fun play.
Yes.
But vinyl gloves, they're just a hair thicker than latex, but vinyl will not melt or crack or break the way latex will.
Mm-hmm.
And vinyl gloves are compatible with these other types of lubes. So there's a way you can protect yourself and protect your partner by using vinyl gloves. You can get vinyl gloves from Ace Hardware to Home Depot. They come in a box of 50 and a box of 100. They have like 7 or 8 fashionable colors now, too, if you want to do that.
Mm.
Although I think they have shied away from red. I have never seen them in red, which I think would be the funniest. Yeah. They make them in blue, green, yellow, clear. But I would love to see red
vinyl
gloves.
But if you're going to use the Crisco, I say go for the old-fashioned dishwashing gloves.
Well, some people do that. They also actually, you'll see in a lot of...
those really thick...
A lot of videos, mm-hmm. they have those big rubber gloves.
Yeah.
Those are the kinds of rubber gloves they use for, you know, like for pulling stuff out in chemical factories.
Yeah. But, or inseminating cows.
But that's basically, okay... I'm such a big fisting bottom pig, your hand isn't big enough, so can you put a 1-inch glove on to make it a little bigger? Okay, fine.
Yeah, we're breaking out the welder's glove.
Oh. A welder's glove, yeah. But yeah, please, if you're going to play with this and you're going to be using any type of lube that's designed for this stuff, use vinyl gloves. Do not use latex. Mm-hmm. Use vinyl. I can't stress that enough.
I need to break in and remind folks that they're listening to After Hours right here on KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, and...
Tonight the K stands for kinky.
That's right, because this is Leather Ties. But we, you know, right before the music break, we talked about our pledge drive.
Mm-hmm.
And that people should call at 713-526-5738. And I can't see what he's doing.
He's banging something on his microphone.
I think we have.
Somebody walk your happy ass in. And
our friend Jerry.
Oh, yes.
Came by the studio.
Oh, I know. I saw Jerry. And I was just, uh-huh. I walked in. I gave him a big old hug. And he's like, who the hell are you? And it's like, you don't remember me, but we go way back 20 years. When you and Ricky were over at Ovations.
Mm-hmm. They still are, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I know they're back. It's just an incredible show, too.
Yes. So he walked in and gave us a very generous pledge.
Thank you very much.
Very generous.
He was instantized.
Jerry's an incredible man. He really is. He's always...
I love his music. Love his music.
Oh, he's an incredible piano player. He's an incredible keyboardist. Mm-hmm. I mean, he puts me to shame, and I've been playing longer than he has, but he's just absolutely brilliant. So while we're talking about playing,
yeah, 713-526-5738 and
call, give us your money, get your credit cards, and keep this radio station running.
And for a pledge of $100 on
free radio,
for a pledge of $100 on plastic, we'll have a live demonstration on air of fisting. Virgin has volunteered.
Yes.
Ah, and lovely.
We can do this right here. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll just use this big rubber fist on Virgin. Mm. Oh, look, he's wearing a ring. Diamonds.
I do believe that would definitely be not safe.
No jewelry.
Yeah. No watches, jewelry is not considered French ticklers in this thing. Okay, no. Don't wear jewelry.
Get your dishwasher's glove. They're beaded on.
Oh, yeah.
Ridged.
Yeah. Okay, so... The best way, I mean, you see porno movies, and the first thing, I mean, let's face it, you want to see the fisting. You
mm-hmm.
don't want to see the hour it takes to get to that point. So, you know,
and that,
take
your cues. That's a misnomer, because people think that you can
just poop.
Yes.
Excuse me, poop, wrong word, but
stick it in.
That you can just, you know, go right into it. No, I mean... You're talking about inserting something very large into a cavity that is not normally meant to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like we were talking last month, I know people who can take toys like this, but they freak out if you talk about actually putting your hand inside of them.
Mm. Isn't that weird?
I don't get it, but that's okay. That's their limit. That's mm-hmm. fine. But, yeah. You know, I know people who have dildos bigger than that.
Oh, yeah.
So
sit on those.
And this thing really is as big as my hand.
They sit on those cones.
Oh, traffic cones.
Traffic cones, yeah.
I've seen those.
Just need a little orange jacket and a little stop sign.
Oh my god.
I have seen a 13-inch cone be used.
Oh my god.
Now, but keep in mind that what you see in the porno movies, they're editing this stuff out. You don't see what's going on behind the scenes. Everybody knows what a fluffer is. Well, you know, they have fluffers for the bottom as well.
Oh, yeah.
So, and you don't see that. What you see is the action you want to see. That's what you're spending your money for. Mm-hmm. So don't take your cues from a porno movie, because what you're seeing is somebody to be, you know, way to put it, they're professionals.
Yeah, they are.
This is something they do. This is how they make their living. They also have been doing this long enough, and it's a scene that they enjoy, that they can get into the headspace, and they can get there much quicker than most people.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, what you want to see, what you see in the video is not always the way it's really going to go. And there are times when, I don't care how bad you want it, you just can't take it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, your body's not going to take it that day. It's not a big deal. Okay, so that was your limit for the day. There are times where you can just, I can take my finger and go like that, and your hand, your ass just comes out and swallows my hand. You know?
it's like Alien. Oh my god!
Feed me, Seymour.
Yeah,
but keep in mind, when you start playing with this, you need to start with toys, progressively larger toys. You need to keep playing with it. Playing with the sphincter, loosening it up, relaxing the person, make sure that they are getting into the headspace. If you're not in the right headspace, you're not going to get it.
Because it's a muscle, and it can open really, really wide.
But again, keep in mind that you have two sphincters. You have the outer sphincter, which we call the a-hole.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 3 inches inside of that, you have a second sphincter.
Right.
And then if you go a little bit deeper, about 4 or 5 more inches, you actually have yet a third sphincter.
I didn't know that.
But it's a matter, and what are sphincters? They are muscles.
Mm-hmm.
And it's learning the muscle control, how to relax it, and how to, you know.
It's all mental.
It is a mental trip. Mm-hmm. If you're into anal play, or, well, same thing with vaginal play.
Yes.
With anal play, it's a matter of learning to control and relax.
Especially with vaginas, you know how big a vagina can get because the baby can come through.
You can drop an 8-pound bowling ball.
Yeah.
But.
And it's a muscle just like.
But
just
I also know a lot of females that like to get anally fisted.
Yes.
They would prefer an anal fist than a vaginal fist.
Mm.
So, you know. If you're going to do it, I mean, I don't know of anybody who is a bottom, even in the vanilla world, who can't get 4 fingers. You know, because, I mean, you can fold your fingers around and it's about the size of a
penis, yeah.
But the biggest problem, number one, is the thumb joint.
Getting that thumb and then the width.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, there are tricks and tips to do this, and I'm going to give you a couple.
Ooh!
Okay.
So, hey, look at first one.
Yeah.
His eyes are just sparkling.
Mm-hmm.
For a second there, I thought he was wearing bifocals. Now it's just a sparkle in his eye.
And I'm interested in that.
If you're careful and
his ass is chewing holes in the chair.
You know, you can work something up. I was.
You can, and what you need to keep in mind is it takes time. And if you don't get it the first time, don't think you're some big failure or you'll never be able to do it or whatever. Most people who get into the scene cannot take a fist the first time or first couple of times because it is a very extreme extension of anal sex.
Yeah.
And
it's a whole different headspace.
Yeah. And sometimes, like I said, you're just, no matter how much you want it, you're just not in the right headspace or to take it.
For one thing, a penis is just a certain length, and that's all that can go in.
And a certain width. And that's something you're used to, but when you get into a feeling that you're not used to, it, your body can get scared.
Sure.
And subconsciously, you can just clamp down and say, no, I'm freaking out. That's not what I'm used to feeling.
Yeah.
And like I said, if you're careful and slow enough, because I remember I was playing with somebody one time and doing a little digital penetration.
Uh-huh.
And after a while, I said, by the way, you realize I'm using 3 fingers. And they're like, no, you can't be.
You can't be. Yeah, but
and
again,
surprise!
It's getting somebody relaxed, getting them to the headspace that they are enjoying the sensation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about. So, number one, you need to fold your thumb in. Fold your thumb in as far as you can to try to create
sure
a space that's equal to the fingers. I mean, the
you see sometimes like this, well, yeah, once you get in there, you can play that way, but you need to fold your thumb in so it's
as tight as you can.
Your hand is, you try to get your hand...
So that when you're looking at the back of your hand, you don't see the thumb at all.
And what you're trying to do is compress your hand and your fingers to about the width of your wrist, because the width of a wrist is about the size of most dildos.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And... the thing is, most people have really fat fingers or fat hands, and it's just compressing it as much as possible to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go in, when you get to the point where you actually are going to insert your entire hand, obviously you're folding the thumb knuckle,
mm-hmm.
go in like you're shaking hands with somebody.
Oh.
Okay? Don't try to go in this way. Go in like as if shaking hands vertically.
Vertically.
Okay.
Go in vertically, not horizontally, because... How does your crack go? Up and down or sideways?
Hmm.
Well, mine goes sideways. I don't know.
You don't look Asian.
Oh, that was such a slam.
Yeah, I know.
That was
but
so
it was good,
Bloomington's 9-0.
Good. Yeah, surprising. I was going to be me that's going to get thrown off the show before Jimmy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You have a butt cheek on the left, you have a butt cheek on the right, and there's a crack in the middle. It's a vertical crack. Your sphincter goes the same way, and your sphincter muscle goes the same way.
So shake hands with Mr. Sphincter.
So shake hands with Mr. Sphincter to get it in, because it will relax and stretch easier that way than it will horizontally.
Okay.
So if you're going to insert as a top, you need to insert as if shaking hands. Once you get in there, you can have lots of fun twisting and spinning and having a good time with it, you know, once your bottom's accustomed to it.
That's when you try to Jim Henson.
Yeah, that's when you play Jim Henson, you know. And you just slide your hand around and French tickle until they pop their load, you know. But to initially get in there, that's the best way to do it, because physiologically, that's the easiest way to get in. On the flip side, the bottom also has to be prepared for this, and there are ways, things the bottom can do. Number one, buy a shower shot.
Yes. Yes.
You want to.
That goes without saying.
You want to clean.
But we better say
you
it.
You need to clean out. You need to douche in some way or form.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You need
deeply
to clean, and just a little douche bag that you buy at Walgreens, or those little bottle things, those little Summer's Eve looking nasty bottles that you see.
Late. Not going to cut it.
That's not going to cut it for this type of play. I mean, you need to have a deeper clean.
Mm-hmm. Sit on a hydrant.
And again...
that's how you prep. You sit on a hydrant.
No, but I mean...
No, but you have to be careful with... With a shower shot, too.
Yeah.
You have to be careful about the water pressure.
Yeah, if you've never used one, shower shots, you do need to learn how to use one, because if you just flip it on full power, you're going to blast yourself right up through the ceiling of the shower.
And you'll end up in the emergency room.
Yeah, you can.
Or worse.
But, I mean, you can control them. They have nozzles on there where you can control the amount of water coming through. The best thing to do, especially when it comes to diet, eat light before you play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't eat heavy food. Your body cycles in, 8-hour cycles? So if you eat light, by the time you get to that point, you've already cleaned out, and there's going to be no byproduct coming down in the middle of a play to kind of ruin the thing.
So no, you can eat buffet before playing?
Yeah.
That's a whole nother fetish.
That's a whole different fetish, yeah. But... So make sure that you are clean, make sure that you are in the right headspace, relaxed, that your top is taking care of you and keeping you relaxed and in your headspace, and making sure he's reading your body language.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, he or she, whoever's doing it, for all intents and purposes, I'm gay, I say he.
Yeah.
As the bottom, when it gets to that point and you're ready to attempt the insertion, to be honest, the best thing to do... is when you feel that thumb knuckle hitting your sphincter, push like you haven't dumped a log in about a year. And everybody knows how to push.
Yes.
And you know what I'm talking about when I say push.
Yes.
Okay, when you're constipated and you're pushing, that's what I'm talking about. Because when you push, you are forcing your sphincter to open a little bit more. And when you push, you force your sphincter open and they can get their hand in.
Mm-hmm.
Once the hand, they actually get past the thumb knuckle, number one, you're probably going to pass out from joy that you actually got your man's hand inside of you. But your body's instinctive reaction is to clamp down. And clamp down and push it out.
It goes directly to the wrist.
Yeah, so the top needs to make sure that once he gets inside, he needs to be very slow, careful, and make sure that the bottom is all right. Because the first initial rush is you feel full. Mm-hmm. I mean, you feel full.
Really full.
Really full, okay? This isn't like a dildo or a tinky, you know? This isn't a penis or dildo, it's a hand. And it is a very different sensation from a dildo or a penis.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got fingers that are moving, you've got a shape that your body's not used to. So your instinctive reaction is clamp down. Your top needs to stay inside of you until you relax again, and then you can start having some fun. Your body will instinctively, since it's such a large object, is going to try to expel it. If the top pulls out, I mean, if you're new to this scene and you're just learning and just experiencing, if your top pulls out his hand, he's not going to get it back in, most likely.
Really?
Because your body's instinctive reaction is, okay, I've expelled this large object, I'm clamping down so it can't get back in.
Oh.
That's what your body's going to do. And you'll be lucky if you can get it, or you're starting from scratch again, you're going to have to work back up to it.
Mm-hmm.
So the best thing to do if you're new to the scene is to make sure that your top stays in you, keeps his entire hand in you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wiggle in and out a little bit, but don't come out past the thumb joint. And, you know, back and forth, round and round, you know, have some good times, twist your hands.
Yes.
Make sure they're having a good time with it. Make sure that you're massaging other areas of their body to keep them relaxed and the headspace, keep them in their headspace. Because if you keep your bottom in the headspace, they can enjoy it a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've never done it before and they pull out, 10-1, they're not going to get back in. Not that time. Because your body is so new to your body, your body's going to clamp down and say, no. I mean, think about it. If you're playing with just a dildo, or your man has his penis in you, and then, okay, that was fun, let's bathroom break, cigarette break, whatever, then you go back to start playing again, you can't take it instantly again.
That's right.
Because they push that back in just like that, and bow, that hurts.
Yeah.
Because your body is clamped down, your body is closed up, so you've got to start all over again. Same concept, on a much wider scale, excuse the pun. Big things, you need to keep them. Now, here are the fears and the concerns. If you take a fist, you'll permanently stretch out and you'll be loose for the rest of your life. And by the time you're 30 years old, you're going to be wearing grampers. You're going to be wearing hands. No.
Mm-mm.
The sphincter is a muscle.
Probably the opposite is true.
The sphincter is a muscle. The more you use the muscle, the stronger it gets.
Mm-hmm.
Period. I mean, that's the whole concept of bodybuilding. You use the muscle, you tear it down,
it
grows back, it builds back stronger.
Sure.
So, no, that's not true. I only know of one person that's happened to, but he was also being triple fisted.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
And literally tore the muscle. So, no. But, you know, when you get that extreme, that's the risk you take.
Yeah.
But, no, it's a muscle, and use the muscle, the stronger the muscle that gets. I mean, you can sit in your chair and practice squeezing and relaxing, clenching and relaxing your sphincter.
I have been on.
Here, try this. try the Adonis. There you go.
I could wait to it.
So, permanent stretching, no. I mean, and honestly, you can look at, again, going back to porno movies, you look at these porno movies, you see these guys, when they start a scene, his hole's like,
really tiny,
teeny tiny.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, he's got a hand in him, and by the end of the scene, he's got a teeny tiny again.
Yeah,
it's just that simple. It's a muscle. Work it, use it, learn how to control your muscle. Other things, tearing. Yeah, you can tear. Even a minuscule, tiny, microscopic tear in a day or two is going to give you, like when you do have a bowel movement, can give you some uncomfortable burning.
Mm-hmm.
Think of like a hemorrhoid. Or
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if that happens, that means that you probably went a little too fast or got a little too excited in the scene and you got a little micro tear or an abrasion.
Sure.
If that's the case, obviously don't play with your butt for a while until it heals, you know. But the other thing you also need to keep in mind is that after you, after a scene like this, you are, your body, your, I can't say cramp, but your body, it's going to be very hard for you even to take a finger for the next couple of days.
Really?
If you're new to it, yes, mm-hmm. because your body's initial reaction is clamp down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, number one, you've just worked out that that muscle really severely.
Yeah.
Now, think about bodybuilders. They go, they work out at the gym for 3 hours, they go home, and the next day, you're sore as hell.
That's right.
You know, your arms hurt. You can't even straighten your arm out all the way because your bicep is going, I don't think so.
That's exactly right.
Same thing.
I get that every week.
You just worked out a muscle that's not used to being worked out that way. That muscle is going to fight you for a couple of days.
Okay.
So a couple of days after that, eat a light diet, okay? No, no chili, no steak, no burgers. I mean, eat a light diet.
Yeah.
So
high fiber may not be a good idea.
No, high fiber probably wouldn't be a good idea because you don't want a lot of that just passing through that fast because your anus won't be able to accommodate that. Your sphincter is going to fight you on that, and that's going to burn.
But so what, like a salads?
Just light foods. Don't eat heavy. Eat, and you know, you should be eating 4 or 5 small meals a day instead of 1 or 2 large meals. So just keep in mind that you need vinyl gloves.
Yeah.
You need a lube that's not going to dry out and constantly have to be reapplied. Constantly reapplying means they're going to have to constantly keep pulling their hand out of you.
Have you talked about position?
Honestly, position, it really depends on the person. Some people prefer to be doggy style.
Yeah.
Some people prefer to be on their back with their legs up, like in a sling, laying in a sling.
Well, and I've seen guys just laying on their back, you know, in films,
mm-hmm.
laying on their back with their legs up in the air, and I'm thinking, that's got to be uncomfortable.
No, not really.
Because, I mean what keeps your legs up there?
After a while, your legs do get tired.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why slings have stirrups.
Exactly.
But think about how long are you watching this? How long is that actual scene? It's a 10-minute scene in a movie, in a 2-hour movie. It's a 10-minute scene. And 10 to 1, it's being filmed over maybe 2 or 3 hours.
Sure.
That they're taking breaks. That's why I say you can't take your cues from movies. It's just showing you the hot sex you want to see. It's not showing you all the work that's actually involved in it.
It just never looked like a real comfortable position.
For a lot of people, it's a very comfortable position. You also notice a lot of them will do this, and they'll put their arms to hold their legs up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And
hook their arms over,
but you also
over their calves.
In a lot of the movies, they'll start out in that position, but then they'll turn around on all fours.
Yeah.
Because it's more comfortable. Or they will just turn around and lay on their stomach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or bend over a,
or bend over
something. A table or something like that. But that honestly just depends on the person and what they are into and what's more comfortable for that person. I know a lot of people that, and I've played with one guy that we call it the sit and spin. And it doesn't matter what position he is in when I insert, but he is constantly rolling around.
Goodness.
He'll go from, you know, on his back to on his side, on his knees, on his side again, on his back, you know. But again, also keep in mind, every time you move, you're getting a different position, you're getting a different sensation.
Sure.
So you just need to be careful how you're moving, how quickly you're moving, let your dom know that you are moving, the top know that you are moving, so the top can adjust or hold still so that you don't get torn.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
But again, if you see it and it turns you on to do it, then try it. I mean, get some larger toys and play with them and see if you like it. Find somebody you trust. If you don't know, again, there are enough people in the leather and the BDSM community that are very good teachers and can take the time to help you learn and how to get you to that point. And if they don't know, I'm sure they know somebody who does and somebody who'd be willing to work with you on this kind of a project. Stimulants. Don't drink, don't get drunk, don't toke, don't do drugs. Poppers, I don't like them. I know a lot of people like to use poppers. Don't use poppers because poppers heighten sensation. That's their job. And if you're new to this and you use poppers, all you're doing is increasing the sensation in the area, and 10 to 1 your body's going to shut down because it's going to be too intense of a sensation. You want to have, you know, a beer or two to relax, a glass of wine or whatever. Fine, do that. Don't be drunk. Don't be otherwise impaired on any other chemicals. And if you have to use poppers, use them very sparingly. Wait until your top is actually inside of you before you try to even use them, because again, poppers, they heighten all your senses. They make everything very intense. Well, it's already an intense scene that you're in the first place. Does that make sense to anybody?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was listening to y'all driving over here.
And you were going, why am I going there?
No, I have actually a lot of experience with what you're talking about. not in the past 10 years, but in my wild and enjoyable youth.
Oh, hey, these are my wild and enjoyable middle
age. Yeah. The thing is, I didn't find that people shut down that easily. You know, in fact, the whole idea of
but again,
depending on the person, some people just seem to have a natural knack for
it. Exactly, but the people, there are a lot of people, they're very curious, they want to know, they want to experience it, but they're still kind of very afraid of it.
Yeah, you have to be careful.
And again, being afraid of it, you've got to just be in the right mind space. You've
well,
got
to
be
me,
in the right head space.
To me, the most important thing, period. And I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I always said that you have to be sort of in psychic communication with each other.
You've got
and
to be able to trust that person and read each other.
I got fisted just to be able to say I could, and sort of did it for a month, you know, many times in a month, and said, okay, I proved my point, you know.
But you also know what it feels like for the bottom. And
oh, absolutely.
You also know what you did like and what you didn't like about what the top did.
But the first time,
and you can adjust your play.
The first time I ever did it, I was at Howard Street Baz in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
and there was a guy in a room with Crisco, and I went, "Oh, I know what that means," and I went in and did it. And when I got done, the guy said, "Well, gee." I said, gee, that was fun, so now I know what that's like. And he said, you mean I just let you do all of what I let you do to me, and you had no idea what you were doing? And I went, and he sort of said, I'm glad I didn't know that before.
Yeah.
But the point being, there was one time when I was in Berlin, and I went home with this guy, and he wanted to be fisted. Okay, and I got in him, and there was no communication. I immediately went, no, I can't do this. And I pulled out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was
again,
that.
If
so to me, that communication is...
It's imperative.
It can't happen unless you're in communication.
You've got to negotiate this. You've got to be able to trust the person you're with, whether you're the top or the bottom. And you have to trust them to respect your limit. If you say no or stop, it means no or stop.
And you're going
to
surrender like you've never surrendered before.
Yeah, it's an incredible feeling, top
or bottom.
It's amazing. Because the tops get just as much out of it as the bottoms do.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to wrap this up. Thank you for listening to Leather Ties. I'm Daddy Bear Robert. Chris, you want to take us out with some music and tell us all about how people can give money to KPFT and keep everybody on the air?
Yay!
Keep free radio moving.
Yes, we're asking for your pledge of support at 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT. Or you can go to the World Wide Web at kpft.org and make your pledge there. Coming up here is My Agenda with Roundtable.
It's After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on KPFT Houston. Once again, we're asking for your pledge of support to KPFT during our pledge drive at 713-526-5738 or on the web at kpft.org. We've had one person step up to the plate tonight, and we would like to have more. So call in your pledge of support. And turn it over now to David Ray Bearworth. The bi agenda, right?
No. Aye. I guess not.
Actually, we going to be on next week.
Yeah. Oh, no, the fourth.
Next week on the fourth Saturday?
Yeah, yeah, we're going to be, because it's kind of been kind of crazy around lately, on the second week, we're going to have
earphones. That's life.
So we'll do something different tonight and bring back all the fun and fun and excitement of the bisexual agenda later in the month.
Yeah.
I think it's going to take, well, I'll be back.
And right now we're in here playing with our headphones.
Okay. So we're going to do more of a roundtable stuff tonight?
Yeah. Okay. I think I throw something out.
Yeah. Before we do that,
yeah,
I have to do this because I promised I would do this.
What? Oh, God. He's got that look.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no.
Someone hit him. Club him now.
I promised that I would play this, and I have to. It's a little dedication.
Actually, it does. That one works.
Oh, Daddy, when you were in jail, were you anybody's bitch? Oh, Daddy, when you were in jail, were you anybody's bitch? Did a Muslim man make you his pet so you could get some cigarettes? Oh, Daddy, when you were in jail, were you anybody's bitch?
For those of you who hadn't heard, the mics are on in there now, so.
Oh.
Okay. For those of you who hadn't heard, the case that we've been covering here for a while, we mentioned it, talked about it a couple weeks ago, slightly. Okay. Somebody may have heard it or not, I'm not sure. John Bice was denied parole for the 1991 murder of Paul Broussard.
Deservedly so.
And,
rotten jail.
I'm going to turn this down because words came up later. I'm already in enough trouble. I don't need that word popping on the air. But, you know, this is one topic that actually received some national news. One of the news sources that we use here for roundtable stuff. Tyler Road is covered the story ahead of time and after the fact of him sitting behind the little plexiglass window. So, I promised I was going to play that a couple weeks ago and decided I, you know, I like to keep my promises. So, I turn it over to the regular, to the round table.
Regular.
That David's going to be doing here then.
Yeah, the regular motley crew that we have here. Just throw out a couple things. Last night, I was watching the History Channel. They have a program they've been running. Not sure exactly when they show it, so I just kind of caught it piecemeal. But they have a program they've been playing called The History of Sex, in which they look at the history of sex as it's been practiced in various civilizations.
That is a wonderful series.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. I've seen some of it.
Yeah, I saw it too. Right.
Yeah. And to me, I'll be listening to this show. Last night they were talking about so sexuality was practiced, say, in ancient Egypt, and of course Greece and Rome, places like that. I know they touched on it briefly, but I've heard this elsewhere that in ancient Egyptian mythology, one of their creation myths has it that the universe was created when the principal god, or where his name was, created the universe through the act of masturbation.
Yeah,
And, you know, that the stars are his seed getting spread around. And they actually show little statues of, you know, Egyptian men who were well endowed and had their hands in strategically placed for self-stimulation.
I believe it.
You're right.
You mean they were jacking off?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said, you wanted to have jack-off circles?
And to me, you know, listening this show and, of course, other things I've read and, you know, among studies about the different traditions of how people have dealt with the issue of who they are as sexual beings and how that has varied over time and within cultures, and of course within cultures it kind of evolves. And you know, as a bisexual man, I'm curious about that because I'm always curious about the difference about the issue of nature versus nurture.
Mm-hmm.
About how much, when I call myself bi, what does it mean? How much of me is straight? How much of me is gay? And how much is that as natural? How much that is learned? And of course, how I've been influenced by, you know, the social messages I picked up growing up. And do I still agree with them or not?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the subject? Yeah, I just throw that out.
Well, that kind of relates to something I've been thinking about, which is, and it's kind of related, because I was thinking about role models and, you know, the way that the media reports thing and all the crazy stars and all the crazy things that they do and how people really identify with that in America. That's kind of our mythology and our gods. And how Hollywood now is kind of like it was in the 30s and 40s and 20s, only they didn't report it in the newspaper then, but it was just as wild. And in the 20s and 30s in Hollywood especially, there was an amazing amount of bisexuality that nowadays, now that all those people are pretty much dead, they're starting to include that in the biographies. And I was thinking about how, you know, Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn and all their movies, and they were like, you know, this favorite heterosexual couple, and they made that biography of Howard Hughes, and Katharine Hepburn was in it, and their relationship. And it's pretty well known at this point now that Howard Hughes was bisexual.
Okay.
There was not a mention of that in the movie. It's pretty well known that Katharine Hepburn was bisexual. That was not mentioned in the movie. And it didn't play at all into their relationship. And then when you think about Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn, that was basically one of the reasons why they loved each other, and I think, and were so comfortable together, is they were a bisexual couple.
Alrighty.
And the whole idea that if the media could go ahead and portray them as the real people they are, how much it would help people not be afraid of themselves in everyday life, that everyday people would not run around being so afraid of anything out of any kind of norm.
Right.
But if, you know, because, I mean, you know that a lot of stars in Hollywood are bisexual or gay. You know?
Okay.
And if you know, the more that, I don't know, it's just the way people, I don't know, anyway, so that's...
Mm-hmm. Well, you're talking about various movie stars. I got this book that I have talked about here on the show, The Bisexual's Guide to the Universe. Quips, tips, and lists for those who can go both ways. I was just glancing through, I got this quote. It's a quote out of a book by Tallulah Bankhead.
Tallulah.
In Lee Israel's biography, Miss Tallulah Bankhead, published 1972. And Tallulah is quoted saying, "Going down a woman gives me a stiff neck, going down a man gives me lockjaw, and conventional sex gives me claustrophobia." Words to live by.
There you go.
For the younger people who don't know Tallulah Bankhead,
Tallulah.
What was her villain's name on Batman?
Oh yeah, she was in Batman, but that's, a lot of people are too young for that
Tallulah
too.
Bankhead?
Are you talking about
Tallulah
Poison
Bankhead.
Ivory?
She played one of the villains. No, she played Catwoman.
Was it Poison Ivory?
No. This is
that was in the Thurman.
Way back in like the 60s.
The Burt Ward, Adam West.
A TV
Batman.
Show.
Right. She was in a Hitchcock movie.
Oh, okay.
And you're too young to even know the TV show, aren't you, dear?
She probably just barely missed. I remember watching it as a kid.
I had to catch the reruns in the 70s.
I was always upset because, like, they play part one Wednesdays and part two on Thursdays. And I was in second grade at the time, and the teacher had insisted that we all had to do homework on Thursdays, and so I wasn't allowed to watch the second half.
The guy I had an affair with one time, he, in an earlier incarnation of his life, he had been a... He did the booking for gypsies, the dancers on Broadway, right?
And okay.
And big Broadway shows. But he used to play cards with Tallulah in her late life, and they'd get totally smashed out of their mind, just drunk. And the doctors had told her not to smoke, but she wasn't about to stop smoking. So she'd take a deep hit on the cigarette, and then she'd lean over and put her mouth to his and blow the smoke, and she goes, "There, you've got the nicotine," and beep, the doctor.
Okay.
And he said by the end of the evening, she kept putting on her red lipstick, so by the end of the evening, he had all this red lipstick all over his face.
I still say Mae West was really a man. I do.
Well, who knows?
I said they need to dig Mae West up and see if Mae West had a wanker.
Okay. It wouldn't be there anymore. But they could do DNA.
Right. Yeah. It's amazing, Egyptian mummies, sometimes they'll find their, you know, that dong still there.
Hmm.
There's one mummy that they pulled up, I can't remember which one exactly, it's been a while back, and they did an x-ray of inside the wrappings. And you actually can see his dong. He was pretty well endowed.
No, he just died with a hard on.
Yeah. Well, they can also tell if it's a male or female by the size of the hips.
Yeah, but right. that's the whole point of mummies, was to preserve them as well as possible.
Right.
I mean, that was why there are mummies.
Unfortunately, Akhenaten, he had these women hips. I don't know. His hips were shaped like women.
It was based on the drawings of him.
He had drawings and statuettes and stuff. And they questioned it in the book that I was reading about him, how he had this feminine look. Kind of questioned that, you know.
Oh, drag yeah. queen.
Right.
Yeah.
He
they were all drag queens back then.
He basically ended up, all the priests ended up angry with him because he was one of the first monotheists on the planet. He basically wanted the cult of the sun god to be the main thing, and so he did. He sort of shut down all the
other
temples. Yeah,
because it was worse than probably about nine or 12 other gods or something like
There's
that.
There's a lot of them. Yeah.
Lots of them. Reminds me, forget the name of the Egyptian queen that was mentioned again on the show, The History of Sex. They were talking about
Are
this.
Are you talking about Hawthorne?
Maybe, but some story was found where there's this woman, I guess she was a queen, was said she wanted to build a pyramid. It was one of the pyramids, or, you know, where they have the Great Pyramid. Mm-hmm. Is one of the other pyramids in that same site.
The not-so-great pyramid.
Right, the not-so-great pyramid. And, of course, the story goes is she paid for its construction by, you know, sleeping around.
By whoring around.
Right, and so, like, we have one customer per rock, per stone.
Hmm.
Which means she was very busy.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, survey number 42.
Sounds like a good excuse to do what she wanted to do anyway.
Right.
Wonder how big the pyramid would have turned out.
Yeah, how big was the pyramid?
Like we said, it wasn't impressive.
Right. It was a small one.
Again, you know, that's part of my own research, plus part of my, you know, healing work, as I described, and getting understand. Growing up, I picked up these messages about sex and all that. And then I see something, you know, in another culture or something else, you just tell me, wait a minute, this is different from what you've been teaching me. What's going on here?
I've always believed that everybody, just as a rule of thumb, should live somewhere other than where they grew up for at least even just a short period of their life.
I agree with you.
So they have something to compare it with, and they know that everything that is set in stone in their community is not set in stone someplace else, and all of that is arbitrary.
That's what T.D. Jakes was saying on Dr. Phil about when they was talking about Dog Bounty Hunter, how he kind of put his foot in his mouth. They was talking about how it's a good idea when you live in suburbia, like especially you're. You grow up in a neighborhood where everybody looks like you, acts like you, dress like you.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to, like, take your kids outside that.
Yeah, not
and
everybody
expose
on the
them
has
to
a
different. Yeah.
Well, and if you only live in the loop, go to suburbia sometime.
You're right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, mm-hmm. it works both ways.
Yes.
I mean, you
yes.
know, if you're gay, talk to a straight person. Go hang out with some straight people. If you're straight, go to a gay bar.
Right.
Yeah. And I know
some African Americans have never ever been to a white neighborhood or anything,
right,
and they don't understand the culture.
Right.
I've been to a booby bar, you know.
There you go.
No, that was Hooters, and you only went for the chicken wings.
No, actually, I went to a strip joint for straight people. I'm like, okay, no big deal.
Yeah.
I don't like is going into that environment, and the first thing out of their mouth is faggot. Okay, that's not an environment I need to go visit.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Which place? Which one?
Oh, please, I won't say what communities, but they're outlaying communities.
Well, one of the
I actually am in those communities a lot, and everybody knows that I'm gay, and I never have problems.
Mm.
I really don't.
Same day with me, too.
I spend part of every week in Conroe.
But again, they know you.
I live in Conroe. I
mean, some of them are just meeting me for the first time.
A lot of times it has a lot to do with your energy.
There was actually a gay bar in Conroe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It has a lot to do with your energy. When you walk into a room, you can throw out this positive energy, so no matter what you are, people are going to like. Because I've been black and redneck land.
For most of your life. Yeah, you've been black
and
most of your life.
Guess what? You still are.
Yeah, right. And normally they were like, what this, you know, N-word doing in here? But I would walk in there and they'd be like, how you doing? You know, and stuff. And mm-hmm. the same, I've been into gay clubs where I was the only female in there, because usually when a female get in there, you get all this negative, you know, oh, shit.
And the thing is, I think, I never got that when I went to gay clubs. A certain amount of people's weird reactions are, some of it is based on sex and gay, straight, whatever. But I remember one time in Denver, I had buzzed my hair. I got just a close buzz cut, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my hair had been down to like my nipples like the week before. And I was at the tram station waiting for the transit thing. And I was talking, there was this nice man and woman. They seemed to be in their 70s. And he has buzz cuts, and they were from like Kansas or something. And we're talking and having a great old time. And he was like, yeah, know how to keep cool, huh? And he was like, because we both had the same haircut. And we talked and had a really good time. And then all of a sudden I said, yeah. And last week my hair was down to here. And it was like all of a sudden they both got very scared and sort of stopped talking and back went over to the other side. And it had nothing to do with sexuality.
Right.
It was just like all of
the hippies blending.
We were the same,
yeah,
and then
I mean,
all of a sudden
I
was one of those
people.
He didn't
even know he was gay at the time.
The minute that they find out.
He had long hair.
But the whole point is that it's about difference.
Right.
It more than it is about sexuality.
Yeah,
it's about you before the...
You can, any time... You're in a community that is based on everybody being the same. It's all about comfort zones.
I mean, I had problems with
that. But that's also their own insecurity. That has nothing to do with you.
Absolutely.
But then again, why would I willingly subject myself to their insecurity?
I had problems.
I already know that they are not willing to come out of that shell. Or even consider.
The reason why I do it is because I'm not going to limit myself to certain communities, and I generally
I'm not
don't
either,
have
but I'm not going to go to a Klan meeting either.
No, of course not. Of course not. But
there are certain areas you just
but
know.
But I'm not going to be.
They're not going to change their mind. Why go?
I'm not trying to change anybody's mind. I'm just sort of socializing.
You're not even opening their eyes. All they're doing is making fun of you.
A lot of times.
I don't think so.
A lot of times it has a lot to do, like, with the... You can put out certain energy. I don't know if everybody in here believes that or not, but you put out energy all the time. And a lot of times you can walk into a place with, oh, they're going to be homophobic. You know, that thinking before you even get in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they can pick that up. I mean, like, I used to go to, like, Clear Lake Methodist, and I'm not a church-going person. I'm the only black person. Clear Lake Methodist. And I'm the only black person in a whole congregation. It's like about maybe 2,000 people. And never had gotten one negative nothing. Everybody's like, hey, you got to come to our Sundays, come to our Days of Confused classes, and come to this, come to that. Hey, we having a party. Everywhere I went to, I don't...
They have a church. They have Dazed and Confused.
I think that's funny.
Yes, they have Dazed and Confused.
They have Spike Lee Day.
Yeah.
And so what you do is, when I went in there, I didn't assume that they're gonna be racist.
They have a War Pigs Day for
I'm not Christian enough, and I didn't have that thought at all. I just like, okay, this is gonna be a good experience. Whatever.
Yeah, but one advantage that women lesbians have over men is. Women can blend very easily where most gay men cannot blend the way women do. Because I see you as a woman first. I don't think, oh, she's a lipstick lesbian or, oh, she's a bull dyke. The minute they see a gay man, just by the way he dresses or walks, he's a fag. Mm-hmm. Women can get away with being slightly effeminate or
because
slightly masculine.
When you look at David, do you see a gay person when you look at David?
Yes.
Yes, what?
Yes, I do.
He goes here. Yeah. Yeah. But David walks into places where it's mostly predominantly... he walks into a place where it's mostly predominantly straight. I've been in these places with him.
Yeah,
and he walks in and everybody's like, hi. I mean, it's just... I can tell just by... Yeah, period. He throws out this energy because he doesn't assume. He just like, okay, I'm going to have a good experience no matter what I go to. He knows certain places you don't go to, like a Klan rally. I wouldn't go to a Klan rally.
Yeah, I mean,
like, that's suicide, you know.
Not into Caucasian
but
plastic.
A lot of times right. you
that was taking it to the extreme.
Because a lot of times you can be as gay as... Is RuPaul or somebody? And RuPaul.
But RuPaul can pass for a woman.
RuPaul is very gay when he's in man form. He's a hot looking man, trust me, but you know he's gay.
He's a better looking
and
woman.
He'll let you know about it too. But he goes into places and people like love him because.
But again, because he is an extreme. He is a piece of art. He is not a human being to them.
Yeah,
because
one thing I keep saying over and over again on the show is that it has to do to a certain extent with the age of the group.
Mm-hmm. I would say your generation.
The younger they are, the less
open.
Of a problem they have it. And to tell the truth, the people in their early 20s, most of them, I mean, they're idiots and jerks everywhere, but. By and large, young people nowadays could care less and usually have a best friend who's gay and their brother or their uncle or whoever, you know, who's been, right. They've had an uncle who's been out. So they've grown up,
in an environment that we didn't have the luxury of.
The
whole idea that there are gay people in the world to the young people nowadays was not a big surprise.
No, it's just a matter of fact for them.
Because we came out and out and got political in the 60s and 70s, we really made our presence known, and that sort of set the ball rolling, and it's still rolling, and it's the avalanche snowball effect has really taken hold, I think.
Well, with the young generation, but people of our age group and people older, you still get the same bigotry.
It depends.
Was Washington gay? I didn't get to meet him.
I'm telling you, man.
Washington?
I mean, granted, I don't hang out with a lot of Republicans.
I don't hang out with a lot of Republicans.
You probably do. You just don't know it. They're either closeted gay or they're closeted Republican.
But see, a lot of times, I don't get it wrong. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times, I would get around Republicans and don't usually have a problem. Like a lot of times, like sometimes.
Of course not. You're an obvious minority. They're going to be nice to you.
Some days, not all the time.
Okay,
but some days.
What is that? I was holding something up.
But some days, I see you come at the station, and you look like a straight guy. You rugged. You got the beard and everything. And other times, you're gay. It depends on maybe how you feel that day. It's just different things happen. And yeah, I've been in the rip card, and like women are notorious for like get like real bad dirty looks in the rip card.
Every time I go in the rip card, I've never had a problem. She is a dom all the way. She's a dominatrix.
I'm not overly feminine, and I'm not overly masculine. Sometimes I wear football jerseys and stuff, and people think I'm a straight up guy. And other times I'm like this, but I'm in the middle. I'm not like overly anyway. And I go to the rip car, and like I had people tell me, oh, you can't go in the rip car without wearing leather. I went in there without wearing leather or anything. And nothing. I had a good time
sadly,
in there.
Sadly, yes, you can.
So
I'm surprised to see women at the ripcord, though. Honestly,
there are a lot of leather women in the community, and it is a nice, relaxing place for them to go and be themselves.
That's great. Yeah.
A lot of times it's the age. Sometimes it's the environment.
I think the biggest plus we have on our side is your generation. You grew up with all the work that we did in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, so you weren't raised with the same prejudice as we were.
I went through some prejudice by race, man.
It doesn't really matter.
Right. But I think one reason why I don't have a problem, too, is it's just, to me, it's just, I just talk to people. I talk to people, and I talk about just a little bit of everything. And I mean, if you're having a decent conversation with somebody, you're having a decent conversation with them. And so the point is to have to before anybody makes any kind of assumptions whatsoever about anything, you know, and I mean, it's no secret that I'm gay, but I also don't necessarily feel like I need to run around going, hi, I'm gay.
Right.
I don't have to let everybody know that I'm bi or I like women or anything.
It's pretty obvious. I don't censor. I've never had that happen.
I've had that happen.
Where?
I've walked into Starbucks and it's a big fag. And I'm like,
it's like
you
gay city in there.
To pick me up.
Wow.
And that usually shuts them up.
But see, a lot of times, I really do believe this. You don't have to believe it or anything. I really do believe that energy, you can put out certain energies.
You can, but whether or not that person
can even... And they pick it up right away. They're not even conscious of it.
You have to be human to pick up on it, though.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like David here.
Everybody.
Like David here, he's been in so many different places. I mean, he walks into the
He's also
the radio
an exception
station.
To the rule.
I knew, but when I first met David, I knew he was gay right away. It's just he
I actually one time in San Francisco, we sat there was used to be a wall at 18th and Castro. Or 17 in Castro. I think it was 18. And one time, a friend of mine and I sat on the wall, and when people walked by, we'd go, faggot! And people would, like, get really upset. We were going, just checking. Us, too. We had more fun with that day.
It's the energy that you put out, though. You got positive energy.
No, but I have my own set of problems.
Right.
We all do.
I was thinking, you know, like I said, as the bi guy here, I think, yes.
Okay. Hello.
Oh, we got another one. Oh, okay. Well, good. I'm not alone.
All right. Some big old knockers.
All right.
I'll pull yours out.
All right. I was thinking about my own experience of going around the circles of people I hang out with. You know, just a couple of gay groups I hang out with. And, you know, they seem to be all right with my being there. And, I mean, it's been a couple of times I've mentioned that my primary relationship is with a woman. They look at me, he's like, huh?
Mm-hmm,
what, you like girls? Well, sometimes.
Yeah.
So and I don't, you know, as far as my own personal habits are concerned, I don't think I'm projecting one energy to the other. You know, if anything, I judge myself as I probably act like a straight guy.
Yeah.
But, I'm still in an environment, a predominantly gay environment, and they just say, oh, okay.
You know what this conversation made me think of, too, is, like, I write these incredibly explicit pornographic poems that are like a how-to monologue, and I have many times read these very graphic. Some of them, yeah. But I read them to predominantly straight
people,
poetry readings, and at the very beginning there'll be people actually screaming, going, ah, no, and like really, and groaning, and oh no, and all this stuff, and I just keep going and keep going and keep going, and by the end of it, there's thunderous applause, people stomping their feet, this huge hooray, and everybody's just like, anyway, it's an interesting thing in crowd study.
We've got to step out. You've been listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. It's your last chance to call in your pledge of support for After Hours this pledge drive, 713-526-5738. Coming up in a minute is Laura Palooza, and here is your PSA.
The Pacifica Foundation, the parent organization of this station, is now holding elections to seat boards of directors in each of the foundation's 5 signal areas. These local station boards help shape the direction of this station, so your vote on potential board members is important. Perhaps that envelope is sitting on a kitchen counter or table, or in a basket with all your incoming mail. When you open it, it will contain, among other items, your ballot and return envelope. The deadline to get your ballot in is November 15th, and before you know it, that day will be upon us. So take a little time out of your busy schedule and vote.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.